to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be, across all these many time zones, from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands, racing eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Good morning in St. Thomas and elsewhere. South into South America. North through our friends to the North, Canada and the North Pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. And by the way, worldwide on the internet. Great to be here.
And good morning, New Orleans.
Yes, last week I announced it and I was a week premature. This morning we are rejoined by New Orleans, WSMB in New Orleans, Louisiana. 1350 on the dial. And we will celebrate that by opening a line for a little bit, just for New Orleans, in a bit. And then later in the morning, we are joined by the big CHQR, Calgary, Alberta, 50,000 watts on 770. Holy mackerel. That's a big signal. So we're going to open up Calgary like a big can. Anyway, top of the morning, everybody. There is a lot going on. It's going to be an open line night, 5 hours of open line talk radio. Unless something happens, you never know. That's the thing about this program is you never know what we're going to do. We will briefly muddle our way through the news. The president has invited Benjamin Netanyahu and PLO chairman Yasser Arafat to come to Washington along with King Hussein of Jordan and President Mubarak of Egypt, who has declined the invite. He will not come. The others will. The Israelis are intransigent. They say the tunnel, the archaeological tunnel, they call it, is open and is going to stay open. That tunnel, I guess, was carved out a couple of thousand years ago. And you know about what's going on there. 55 dead, 100, maybe thousands injured. And it's all very tenuous right now, and it's kind of hour to hour, and the whole thing could blow up again just like any minute. The Palestinian police have got guns the Israelis gave them, which the Palestinian police used against the Israelis, and the Israelis are now considering taking back. They're actually talking about that. If they do that, they will have, of course, a civil war on their hands. So the parties will come to Washington. The president is taking a pretty good-sized political chance by doing what he's doing. There's no question about it. There is, you know, in every other Israeli-Palestinian confab, there has been a predestined result. In other words, everybody has known ahead of time that Yasser Arafat and the leader of the Israelis would shake hands and everybody would clap and cry and it would be great. This time there is no such guarantee. Far from it. You know, I would say the odds are against some sort of success. So, in a way, the president is taking a pretty good size political risk this close to the election. Do you think Israel really wants peace, or even should want peace? That's the operative question. I don't think they should necessarily want it. And I know that's a little bit of an outrageous opinion, but if I were in Israel, I don't think I would want it. And I'll say this. Do you think the Arab world has really given up on the idea of eradicating Israel from the face of the globe? I don't. Surely Syria would no doubt still like to erase it. And generally in the Arab world, there's more sympathy for erasure than there is survival. Indeed, an aide to Benjamin Netanyahu said that if the violence should continue against Israelis, they will disarm the 30,000 Palestinians who have automatic weapons. And if they try to do that, of course, it will be a civil war. So the whole thing is a great big powder keg over there right now. And I think that if I were an Israeli, A, I would be very pleased at the election of Netanyahu. B, I would not be supporting continuation of the peace process. I certainly wouldn't go to war. But I don't think that I'd get all kissy, feely, warm and fuzzy with the Arab world, because the Arab world is not yet ready to truly accept Israel's existence. And until that moment really comes, not on paper and not because Yasser Arafat changed something, but in the hearts of the Arabs, then nothing is going to change and people are going to still die. And if that's the case, then I vote for lots of good defense. And that's what I would do if I was an Israeli. I wonder how you feel about that. With regard to the tunnel, there have been some that have speculated that the Ark of the Covenant may be somewhere about or close by. Interesting. Russia. Bad news in Russia. Yeltsin, as you know, is very, very ill. And the head of national security, who happens to be one, Alex Lebed, said over the weekend that Russia is now, listen to this now, rudderless, and he, Lebed, is very concerned about who is in control, even suggesting a lack of control of their nuclear stockpile. So, is Russia internally on the brink? And if they are, then the world is more or less on the brink, isn't it? President, with regard to Bosnia, you'll recall, had made an ironclad promise that American troops would be out by December 20th. Secretary of State Warren Christopher is now beginning to hedge about that. No surprise there. Over the weekend on Meet the Press, Tim Russert observed to Warren Christopher, Mr. Christopher, the turnout was absolutely wonderful. As a matter of fact, the turnout was 104%, surpassing, that's right, I said 104%, surpassing even the great old days of Chicago's greatest votes. Christopher denied that. The president is up for a Nobel Peace Prize for the whole thing, and now it looks as though our troops perhaps arose by some other name under some sort of international banner, but our troops indeed are going to remain in Bosnia past the 20th of December. I mean, clearly they're going to break the promise. And that leads me back to something we were doing last week, and that is promises. That's what I call it. And I want to know what promise. Now, bear in mind, if you were running for president, I want to know what promise you would make the American people. This can be a promise that you have absolutely no intention of keeping. Because near as I can tell, politicians, make that plural, don't keep promises. They make them. Particularly when they're running for office, they make them all the time when they're running, and they rarely, if ever, keep them. So I certainly would not hold you to that. And I would like to hear some promises that some of you, I mean, it's got to be good stuff. Something the American people want. Not that they necessarily need, but something they would want to entice them to vote for you. Maybe even something free. You promise anything you want. You promise to take from the poor and give to the rich. They could use more money. Take from the rich and give to the poor. I don't care. Promise anything you want, To get elected. And since the politicians are doing it, I really think it'd be fun to practice doing such thing here. The elections are coming. Ooh, exciting, huh? 5 weeks now and counting. And we will know who the next president will be. What tension. What incredible drama. Do you all feel it? Mm-hmm. Me either. The debates will be next week. Now, I've got a few words to say about debates. Okay. Bob Dole is a good man, not a good campaigner, and probably not a good debater. But you know what? He might surprise everybody. Could the debates turn out to be a surprise? It's a long shot, but they could be. Bob Dole could, going in with very low expectations, rout Mr. Clinton, who is a very good, almost talk show host. Mr. Clinton is a very good town hall meeting kind of guy, but I'm not sure how he's going to be in a debate. We'll see. We'll see. Dole may do better than you think in the debates, but Clinton is going to win the election. Dole has been floundering about trying to figure out how to come at Clinton. And first it was the crime issue and drugs. And that didn't really go anywhere. The 15% tax carrot didn't go that far. So now he's going to call Mr. Clinton a liberal with a capital L, big time. Big spending liberal. I'm not sure that one's going to work either. Mr. Clinton never really was able to be pinned down. I mean, you can't pin down Mr. Clinton as anything because he's whatever he needs to be at any given moment. Maybe Mr. Dole should pin him down for that, being chameleon-like. I'm not sure he's going to be able to. He did sign the welfare thing, and so he's not going to be viewed, it's not going to be easy to put the capital L liberal on Mr. Clinton. Now, I don't have a lot of hopes for the debates, but you never know. I will, of course, watch them. Not that I hope I'm going to see much or imagine I'm going to see much. I will hope. And maybe, you just never can tell, maybe. Now, I want to make an observation about debates in general. Nobody wants to debate anybody. That's my comment. And I have scheduled, unless he gets angry at me, I've got Harry Brown scheduled for the day after the first presidential debate. And I have scheduled Howard Phillips for the day after the second presidential debate. But I must tell you, I issued an invitation to the third party candidates, all of them. And I would say all of them responded. And I tried to put together, they're all bitching that they're not in the debates, including Harry Brown. And of course, Ross Perot. But you know what? None of them want to debate each other. Now, I was due to have Harry Brown on, and I still will, unless he gets angry at me, the day after the first debate. And I, when the Brown people called me, you know, as the debate date kept changing, I said, look, would you guys consider a debate, say, with Howard Phillips? And I thought that would have been a good debate, because Howard Phillips is an arch conservative, pretty much mainstream, or to the right of mainstream conservatism. And Harry Brown is a libertarian, and I thought it would make a good debate. Now, in the scheme of things, Howard Phillips may not be as high on the third-party food chain as Harry Brown. So Howard Phillips is willing to debate a Mr. Brown, but Mr. Brown is not willing to debate Mr. Phillips because Mr. Brown wants to debate Bill Clinton and Bob Dole. And so forth and so on down the chain. So what I observe here is that even though the third-party candidates, and you might think about this a little bit, are raising hell and saying they're not part of the national debate and it's not fair, when it comes down to debating themselves, they don't want to do it. So they're no different, in my opinion, than anybody else when it comes down to the politics of debates. And I kind of wanted to get that, frankly, off my chest. So, there it is, off my chest. ValueJet is going back to the air, actually already has. They had their first flight. And what a deal. ValueJet, living up to its name, the Atlanta-based airline, is charging travelers $19 for flights to four U.S. cities. Wow. $19. That's really cheap. Now, the airplane on the flight NBC covered mainly held ValueJet employees. The press were assigned, I suppose, to fly, and a few real passengers who couldn't pass up $19 as a fare. You know, and the passengers were saying things like, well, they must be safe. I mean, they're back and they've been really examined, so frankly, the fare looked good and I thought I'd fly, and so they're flying. You know what I think ValueJet's problem is? I think it's their name. I think they should change their name. I don't think they should call themselves ValueJet. That just has the wrong ring to it. It's like Cheap Jet, Wing and a Prayer Airlines, that sort of thing. It's psychologically, ValueJet is the wrong name, and they should change their name. And I think if they do, they'll have a lot more luck. But ValueJet is going to forever. There's just something about it, don't you think? The name itself, ValueJet, Cheap Jet, fly here. Divide. Here, have this bag of peanuts. Divide it with the person next to you, please. So I think they ought to change their name. NASA is moving forward with its controversial plan to place the day-to-day question operations of the space shuttle in the hands of private business. Wow. Private business is going to run the shuttle program. That's very interesting. I wonder how that will affect what we see. All right, let me break here. We're about to get underway with open lines. Anything at all you want to talk about is fair game. I would like to, if you don't mind, leave my East of the Rockies line open for about an hour for New Orleans, Louisiana. We're back in New Orleans. So you can call us. Everybody needs to cooperate, as usual. Just give me 1 hour with New Orleans. Celebrate a new affiliate, WSMB in New Orleans. There's been a big blackout there now for, I don't know, what's it been, about a month and a half? And so we want to celebrate being back on, which means hold that line open. Everybody else hold off. If you are in New Orleans, call 1-800-825-5033. New Orleans, 1-800-825-5033. Scientists believe they have sniffed out an answer to a long-standing question in anthropology, and that is whether Neanderthals were an ancestor of modern human beings. And the answer is no, thanks to a detailed study of the nose. Anthropologists at the American Museum of Natural History in New York and the University of Pittsburgh have analyzed the noses, sinuses, and nasal cavities of five Neanderthal fossils. They conclude the differences from today's humans strongly support the notion that Neanderthals are not part of modern man's evolutionary past. What? Now, how can that be? If they are not part of our past, then what were they? An entirely different race? Wow. How can that be? Neanderthals disappeared, it is thought, about 30,000 years ago. So that throws a lot of things into question, doesn't it? I surely, in my own mind, I don't know about you, but I always thought Neanderthal man was the predecessor to mankind, didn't you? And if he wasn't, that means he was a whole different, what, species? So then, what does that say about us? And the whole process of evolution, doesn't that throw kind of a kink in the evolutionary chain? I would think. I don't know. I'm not an anthropologist. Maybe some of you can tell me. And by the way, source-wise, this was last hour's Reuters news, so that you know where this came from. Last hour's Reuters news. Not related to Neanderthal man. What a shock.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996.
Top of the morning, everybody. Open lines on Screen Talk Radio. You never know. Hey, listen, you know what I've got here? You're not going to believe it. From SciTech, Major Ed Dames, a detailed explanation, which he had promised, of the findings on Flight 800. Findings that are going to be aired or talked about on primetime national news this coming Wednesday. Ed Dames is going to be on primetime. And I've also got word from SciTech on the Ark of the Covenant. So we'll hold all that for a moment, and I'll get it, read it to you. Right now, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art.
Hey, sir.
I'm glad to be the one to be able to tell you. You are on in New Orleans.
Well, all right, back in New Orleans again.
I thought we were going to die without you.
Well, it was just a matter of time, so I told you we were coming back.
Yes, and I told everybody you were going to be back last Monday, and they almost killed me.
thank you, WSMB.
Yes, thank WSMB. I don't know, probably remember I've sent you some email before, a little thing about a chupacabra lost picture.
Oh, the lost dog photo?
Yes.
I had a lot of fun with that.
I know you did.
Listen, it's great to be back on in New Orleans. We're very, very pleased about that. And I can even tell you they're considering Dreamland.
Very good. Well, at least I can only use my computer every other night of the week. If I have to use it Sunday to listen to Dreamland, I'll have to do that.
Well, there you go. We are on the Internet. So it is good to be back.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and take care.
You too.
All right, listen. Art, this is from Ed Dames, just to keep you up to date. I'll be discussing the Attached, which I'm about to read you on primetime national news, Wednesday. The project should be wrapped up by the end of next week. And here it is from Ed Dames. And he sent this to the National Transportation Safety Board in Washington, D.C., sir. The following may be of assistance in your efforts to establish the origin and cause of the subject explosion. One, in the 1988 bombing of Pan American Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, a classified Army intelligence unit was instrumental in assisting the FBI in establishing both cause of explosion and location of the perpetrators. The team employed remote viewing in its intelligence collection operations. I was the operations and training officer for that unit. All of the highest skilled former members, as well as other similarly trained civilian professionals, are now employed by SciTech as technical remote viewers. Two, though our services are related primarily to professional training and scientific technical intelligence consulting, we have on occasion performed work for the UN, National Security Council, and FBI. On September 14th, when it had become apparent that investigators were running out of leads, a SciTech initiative project was set into motion to determine the cause of TWA Flight 800's explosion. Three, By September 16th, Probes, by an assigned 8-member team, had established the following. A. The mid-air explosion was not the result of a missile, bomb, or act of sabotage. The point of origin for the event was not located in the cabin, cockpit, or baggage hold areas. B. The explosion was directly or indirectly caused by the catastrophic failure of a component or sub-assembly possibly associated with aircraft's fuel system. 4. Subsequent TRV work to date points to the following. The evolution of the catastrophe can be delineated as 4 key stages or points in time. A rotary shaft gearbox in a heavy housing, possibly a pump or actuator, begins to fail. The part is situated generally in the lower part of the fuselage, right of center, just behind and below the point where the trailing edge of the right wing joins the aircraft main body. The shaft flies apart and the housing breaks away from its mount. Note another point near the right inboard engine is connected with this event in a manner not yet determined. A fire starts either near the failed mechanism or at a shrapnel-punctured fuel line, which quickly becomes a migrating fireball. The aircraft explodes. Technical remote viewing work is currently aimed at the following. A. Establishing a fix on the failed part's specific onboard location. B. A composite diagram sketch of that part. And C. Identification of the Boeing 747 part. Toward this end, SciTec will solicit the expert opinion of select individuals in the commercial aviation industry, including senior pilots, aerospace material review board members, and a prominent aircraft designer. Sixth, and finally, additional information will be forwarded to your office as soon as it becomes available. Please do not hesitate to contact us with any questions or comments you might have. So that is the content of a SciTec letter sent to me by Ed Dames, but which was really sent to the National Transportation Safety Board. And then as a P.S. to me, Ed writes, P.S., the Ark of the Covenant is about a, quote, stone's throw, end quote, from the excavation. We'll get it out. So this tunnel, according to Ed Dames, is that close to the Ark of the Covenant. So there you are. That is some fairly specific information from Ed Dames, and I guess he's going to be on prime time, so you might want to catch it on Wednesday. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is New Orleans.
New Orleans again. Good morning to you.
I told you to call WWL.
WWL?
Yeah, well, WSMB's a sister station.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, we're glad to be on.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, I'm glad to hear your voice loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to San Antonio and all those other stations in between.
But they fade in and out and fade in and out.
Well, I've been getting them pretty good. I made one of those Bob Crane do-it-yourself antennas, you know.
It helps.
I tell you, I got a lot of stations, but...
Yeah, it's really cool. If you live out where you can get an antenna up and you know how to put up a decent antenna, there's a lot of things you can receive. But you've got to remember that a lot of people are in apartments, that kind of thing,
right,
with transistors, and that's a no-go.
Well, I tell you what, I hope everybody in New Orleans gives you a good warm welcome. You know, and we really love you.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I just want to let that WSMB know that there's a lot of Art Bell fans out there.
Well, there are.
We really love the products that you push, too.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of fans out there because I had to get back on New Orleans just to stop the email and the faxes. I got literally thousands.
That's great. Okay, Art. Well, I'll say, how about Good Buddy Airways?
good
Teddy Bear Airways.
Teddy Bear. That sounds warm and fuzzy.
And how about we'll stop all the drugs in the nation?
I
stop
will
all the drugs. We promise you we'll end the drug situation in the United States.
Within 2 weeks.
Within 1 week.
1 week. 1 week. All right, sir.
Bye.
Now, there's a promise you can vote for. Thank you. There's a man who promises to end all drugs and drug use in this country in 1 week following his election. Now, by God, there's something you could vote for, huh? Yes, sirree, sir. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Art Bell.
That's true.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. I was reading in a book that Asher Kaufman, a doctor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem,
yes,
discovered that the temple site was not on the Dome of the Rock, but actually 100 yards west.
That's right. That's right. It is correct. You're correct, yes. That is my information as well. But that doesn't mean that may not be the archaeological site where they might find within, quote, a stone's throw the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, you know, I heard that also that a group of people were digging in this tunnel several years ago, and they came back the next day, and the Muslims had put cement there to stop it from going any further.
Yep.
So that's what this is all about, you think, this tunnel, just because they're going to find the Ark of the Covenant?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to say that. That's idle speculation, but it's kind of interesting in view of what Ed Dame says here.
It is, very.
And what he just said about Flight 800 is very specific. So this gives you, a good example of what happens with remote viewers. You know, a lot of times people will call up and they kind of want instant results from a remote viewer, as though it were a psychic on the radio giving you a reading. Hi, my name is John. I was born in so-and-so. Well, John, I see great things ahead for you, and you're going to be getting a job. Now, it doesn't work that way. Remote viewing is a very serious discipline, which takes a long time, and projects are costly in terms of man-hours and money. And what you're hearing here with regard to 800, finally, is the result of a project they actually undertook. You know, somebody called up when we had Ed Dames on last time, I think, and said, well, tell us about Flight 800. Well, we haven't done it as a project, and that has to be the answer to a lot of things. Because doing any target as a project is a very serious undertaking. But this report certainly is very specific. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Pete in Portland.
Hello, Pete.
They got two things. One is about last night's dreamland, and the other is the Neanderthal question.
All right, Dr. Brian O'Leary first.
Okay. Remember near the end of the show you had a lady call in about her bad back and the magnet she used?
Oh, yes. Corrected? Oh, yes.
I thought she was just talking through her hat until...
No.
Until today, I was listening to, I think it was Dr. Dean Adell, and he reported that researchers have given rats with... spinal cord injuries, a doses of x-rays, and this appears to defeat the body's blocking attempts, the thing in our bodies that prevent neurons from healing themselves and reconnecting.
Right. Yeah, I saw some of the photographs. NBC ran some of the photographs of the rats who had recovered partial use of their legs. It was fairly pathetic looking, but it is good research.
So maybe now x-rays are a magnetic phenomenon, just like a permanent magnet. So maybe you want to call up those water purification people and have them build something special for you.
Strap on a few magnets?
Yeah.
All right, sir. And you had something else on...
the Neanderthal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently what we're seeing here is two parallel species, the human beings, Homo sapiens, and the Neanderthals. We're not branching from the same trunk, as it were. We may have a common ancestor, though. The interesting thing is that there is...
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about two...
sentient species existing on the Earth at the same time.
Thank you.
Yes, that's very interesting, because Neanderthals, they created art, they worked tools, they buried their dead in graves with ceremonies and dried flowers
and
jewelry.
That's right.
So what happened to them?
I don't know. Apparently the nose knows.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, Eric.
Good night, sir. Appreciate the call. Very, 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 very interesting indeed. I've got it here, and I'll read it again probably after the top of the hour. It's Reuters this hour. Neanderthal man not related to modern man at all. What a shock. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Art Bell?
That's true. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
It's important to do right away, or you will get confused because of the delay. What is your first name?
My name is Frank.
And where are you, Frank?
I'm in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, Frank. We're holding this line open for New Orleans.
I just tuned in. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. Thank you very much, Frank, for the call. But for about an hour here, I promise to hold the line open for New Orleans, the East of the Rockies line for New Orleans. Don't worry. West of the Rockies will be getting the treatment later when Calgary comes online. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Welcome back, Arden. It's Nick in New Orleans.
How you doing, Nick?
All right, man. It's good to have you back home and get you out of WOAI out of San Antonio. It was a little rough there.
Well, I know. It comes and goes. Depends on the quality of radio that you've got.
Yeah, and I ain't working on anything too good at work, you know. Anyway, a couple of things. One thing I wanted to ask you, about 6 months ago, you had something on the air about a guy that was arrested for some little misdemeanor, jaywalking or something. And he refused to give his name. He'd rather stay in jail. You remember that?
Yeah, I do vaguely. Yes. Uh-huh.
I was just wondering if you ever got any follow-up on that.
None. As far as I know, he's still rotting in jail.
Still rotting in jail.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the latest on Madman Markham? You heard any more? He should be getting around the time, huh?
Oh, yes. I talked to him about 4 or 5 days ago.
Oh, okay.
And
I might have missed that one.
Yes, uh-huh. And the deal is he's still about a month away, but he's got the assistance of a large automobile company. That's all he would tell me. A big concern that is doing some manufacturing for him, and he's got the whole thing in a warehouse, and it's going to be built to spec by people who know what they're doing. So he's got some big money help, and that's where it's at, about a month away.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing about that. All right, well, welcome back. I want to thank WSMB and New Orleans for carrying you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, WSMB, and they're also considering Dreamland.
Great.
Uh-huh. All right, sir.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. That's New Orleans again. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art Bell. This is Beavis. Butthead has another question for you. Last time he had a question on spontaneous combustion. I don't know if you remember.
You're Beavis and he's Butthead?
Yeah. Where
are you anyway?
Out in Citrus Heights.
Why would you call yourself Beavis?
Yeah, well, anyway, I don't know. It's just off the MTV thing. The point is,
But why would anybody call themselves Beavis and be associated with somebody called Butthead?
Anyway, Butthead's other question is about alternative fuels.
Well, if Butthead wants to ask a question, then put Butthead on.
Oh, his question is he wants to know.
No! I don't want you to ask Butthead's question.
Oh, he's not here right now.
Well, then tell him to call me himself.
Oh, I got the question here for you.
I don't want it. I
want
to hear Butthead to call me himself.
Oh, yeah, his question's about alternative fuel.
Okay, well, I'm not taking it. No. Beavis, Butthead wants to ask a question, you tell him to call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Turn your radio off, please.
Yes, I just did.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Picayune, Illinois.
We're holding this open for New Orleans right now.
We are.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Thank you. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell.
Yes.
Yes, hi. This is Kevin from Wisconsin. We love you in Wisconsin. Art.
Thank you, Kevin.
We absolutely love you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I listened to your show a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, and a guest was talking about a landing that might happen next year, a semi-public landing.
A semi-public landing next year.
Yeah, of a UFO. I don't remember what show it was. It might have been Dreamland. It was an interview.
Well, we interviewed somebody from CSETI.
Right.
And he was predicting a landing in that time frame.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask you, I thought I heard, now this might have been a big hoax, but I heard of something happening like that outside of Moscow at some point, Do you know about this? I know you were just in Moscow. Have you heard about this? I thought I remember something about that, but that was before, you know, I had started listening to your show and got interested in the subject.
You know, you've just asked me a question that I honestly, for a little while, can't respond to. I know some information that for reasons that will be apparent, I can't talk about right now.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But I, you know, I had heard about it. I heard it was actually on the media in Moscow at some point. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I'll see what I
don't want to get in trouble.
I will see what I can find with regard to something from the media in Moscow that I could talk about.
Okay. And the other thing I just wanted to say real quick, if I can, is I totally agree with the value jet thing.
The name thing, you mean?
Oh, my. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm from New Jersey originally.
I thought about that all day today, and I almost wish I could talk to somebody from the company, because I think they should have changed the name. I really think they should have changed it.
Well, their stock would go up right away, but, I mean, it's kind of like, there was this company in New Jersey called, well, I'm not going to say what kind of company it was, but you could figure it out. It was called Rent-A-Rec.
Rent-A-Rec,
and it's like, who would put their family in something called Rent-A-Rec, you know? I mean, so anyway, that's, when you said that, I laughed, and I really enjoy it.
You're right about that. Who would put their family in Rent-A-Rec?
Yeah, I guess it's just for suicidal drunks or something like this. But
well, now.
No. I'm sorry. That was
there is a little humor there. I mean, it's like Terrible's terrible gas, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. I've heard of Rent-A-Rec, actually. Yeah, but there is, I mean, you say, what's in a name? There really is a lot in a name. And I think the psychology here is, when you're talking about flying, it is definitely cool to get a good price. I mean, everybody likes that. But on the other hand, you don't want to associate a low price with going into the swamp, do you? And there is a psychological association with the name. Cheap fare, alligator bait. And that's just a psychological thing. So I'm glad they're back in the air, but I think if they changed their name, they'd have a whole lot more luck. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. We take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, Canada. And we're lighting up another affiliate in Canada. It is CHQR in Calgary, Alberta. CHQR in Calgary, Alberta. They are 770 on the dial. Same frequency as the mighty KOB in Albuquerque. And they are 50,000 watts to go with our friends at CHED. Just marching right along the Canadian-U.S. border and on up there, I guess. And it's going to be fun to see exactly where 50,000 watts from Calgary goes. I'll bet you it goes all over the place. So, as I do with each new affiliate, or try to do, I'm going to reserve a line for Calgary. You know what, though? I'm not sure which line to reserve. I think that it's 1-800-618-8255. So would everybody else west of the Rockies hold off and let us reserve a line for those listening to CHQRAM from Calgary. And we'll find out where Calgary is heard. It'd be kind of fun. And apparently, they can make it through on the international line as well. So, would everybody please cooperate out there and put down your phone and don't call west of the Rockies. God, I hope they can call this number. We'll hold this open for Calgary and those listening to Calgary. Welcome to the network. I never know what to say to new listeners about what this program is. It's no single thing. It's kind of different every night, as you will determine. So give it a try. Love to hear from you. The number is, again, 1-800-618-8255. Everybody else hold off. Let the people in Calgary and listening to CHQR get through. I guess you all know about the trouble in the Middle East. Our president has done what he has to do. It's a little chancy. He's got Benjamin Netanyahu and the PLO chairman on the way over to Washington to try to patch up very serious difficulties. The archaeological tunnel is open, and Netanyahu says it's going to stay open. The Israelis are very intransigent on this point. The entire peace process is in danger. 55 people dead, hundreds if not thousands hurt so far in the whole mess over there. And when you're talking about Netanyahu, you have to wonder if Israel, with its present government, really wants peace, and whether it ought to want peace. And my view is that it shouldn't, because I don't think the Arab neighbors, a couple exceptions maybe, have turned away from wanting Israel dead and buried. Not in their hearts. I mean, Yasser, Mr. Gun-toting Yasser, he signed some papers, he changed the charter of the PLO to say that they could live with Israel, and maybe he means it, but in the hearts of the Arabs, they don't. And until that changes, Israel had better keep its powder dry. In Russia, Yeltsin is sick. Alexander Lebed, if you want something to worry about, Alexander Lebed said over the weekend that Russia is now rudderless. And he, Lebed, who is head of national security, is concerned about who is in control, even suggesting a lack of control of the nuclear stockpile of Russia. Think about that a little bit. Ah, should have built that SDI, eh? A new study, according to Reuters, shows that we are not related to Neanderthal man, that Neanderthal man was virtually a separate species. Now, you think about that. The traditional view has always been that evolution had modern man as a descendant of Neanderthal man. Yes? No. Nearly conclusively, they have now proven that Neanderthal man was a separate branch, or even if you want to consider it a separate species. That's fascinating. Fascinating. I'm going to reread a story called Soul Catcher Implants in a bit. Here is a fax from Bryn Marie in San Francisco. Longtime faxer. Art, there is a mouse living in my bathroom. I think the little guy crawled in through the hole where the sink pipe comes in. Yeah, that's where they usually get in. I've set a trap, a humane trap, a little, tiny, mouse-sized version of your have-a-heart cat trap. And I've baited it with peanut butter, but to no avail. Would any of your listeners have any idea what else I could use for bait? Boy, I'll tell you, if a mouse won't go for peanut butter, times are hard. If it won't go for peanut butter, I don't know what it will go for. You could always try and domesticate him. I mean, where does he have to go? Anybody ever try to domesticate a mouse? I guess they're dirty and you shouldn't do that. I'm always trying to do that. Birds, little birds. My wife chewed my head off for trying to domesticate a bird. I was going to bring it in, get a cage for it, and she said, no, it's dirty. Don't touch it. I went out and picked that stupid bird laying on the ground. Let me pet it. Why would a bird let it pet you? I mean, that's absolutely insane. I don't know, Bryn, about a mouse. My cats have always, they're well fed, so they don't eat mice, but they chase mice, and when they catch them, they usually do something stupid like lay on them. And then I go up with a jar and I catch them in a jar and take them out into the desert a safe distance and let them go. We're We're also talking about ValueJet, which is back in the air. And I said last hour, I thought about it all day today, and they should have changed their name. I'm sure that ValueJet is probably as safe now to fly as any airlines. I'm sure they've, you know, gone over them with a fine-tooth comb. But the name ValueJet is wrong. It's wrong. Because people don't mind associating bargains with flight with no problem. But if they associate in their mind airplanes going into swamps and stuff with a low price, it's not attractive. I mean, they're charging $19 right now just to attract people back to ValueJet, and they should have changed the name. Any other name, arose by any other name, I think would carry a lot more passengers. Let me put it that way. This just is a psychological thing. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you?
This is Greg calling from Anchorage. It's
yes.
It's been a long time.
Oh, it certainly has. KENI Anchorage, of course.
Yeah. I've listened to your show from last week twice, when it originally aired, and then this weekend, the one with Mr. Hoagland and Mr. Hancock.
And Mr. Boval.
The third gentleman.
Mr. Boval.
Yes, excuse me. And it seemed like the show was all over the place.
No, it really wasn't. The show was very centered. It just may have not dispensed the information that you wanted. A lot of people, of course, wanted to talk about the mechanics of what might be under there and all the rest of it. This was about a pending event to open the chambers of the Sphinx, sir, and who would be there, and the quality of the information obtained. It was very, very important, actually.
Well, I understand that, but actually what I got from a pending opening, it sounded like there was some suspicion that the thing has already been opened.
That's right.
But what I found was that, you know, this is just my impression, my opinion, that the same thing that Mr. Hancock was against, he was mainly against the keeping it from the general public, but the petty squabbling that was going on, I heard that same thing over the radio, and I found him to be the biggest violator of it out of the three that were on there. He was, you know, he was unwilling to compromise.
Well, as I said toward the end of the show, he definitely had his backup. I mean, there's no question about it. Graham had his backup. However, I do have some late news that nobody knows about. But since you brought it up, I'm going to give it out right now.
But before
now,
you do, I'd just like to say something. I think Mr. Hoagland and his attitude and his willingness to compromise is important. And I think that in actuality, if what is under the Sphinx is that important, and the people who are in charge of that are guarding it so closely, if things haven't gotten out of Area 51 that we know are important, if what is underneath the Sphinx, which we feel is, you know, of such grave matter, do you really think that that information is ever really going to get out?
Well, it's a damn good question, and I don't have an answer. I mean, they were talking about the salting of the mine, that kind of thing, that somebody may have already been there. But here's, I guess, how I think about it. And I said this toward the end of the program. You might have missed it. If Egypt is a sovereign nation, which it is, even though we might feel that these antiquities belong to all the world, we have no more right to demand this great UNESCO international presence than the man in the moon. And if, frankly, if,
you're absolutely right.
I mean, suppose they were demanding that for the U.S. I'm telling you right now, the quote patriot community out there would be going off the deep end,
or the Native American community.
They'd be going. Everybody'd be going off the deep end in our country, like hell in my country is what they'd be saying.
Right. One final thing I'd like to say.
No, I'm not done.
Oh,
stay
okay.
There. Just pause for a minute. So if there is an opportunity for anybody to go over during this opening and see it and make a judgment about whether what we're seeing is valid and real, then that's better than nothing. If it's going to happen no matter what, then I vote to get as many people in who know what the hell they're doing as possible.
I agree. And the other thing is that, what, you know, Mr. Hancock seems pretty naive to me. Richard was making some very good points about the geopolitical problems that are going on in the Middle East at this time.
Yes.
And the fact that you have three problems that directly relate back to three religious cultures, Christianity, Judaism, and Muslims.
Yep.
And if what is underneath the Sphinx is what they say, what they believe it to be, the ramifications to those religions and to the geopolitical order in the Middle East is earth-shaking.
That's right. That's exactly right. I appreciate your call, and now I am going to tell you all something. About midday on Saturday, this is going to blow your mind. About midday on Saturday, I got a call from Richard Hoagland. And Richard said, guess what, Art? Graham Hancock and Robert Bivol have agreed to a meeting Monday evening with Mr. Shore. So after all of that, they agreed, and I'm very thankful, they agreed to a meeting. Now, I don't know what the results of that meeting are. I assume it has already occurred hours ago. And I don't know that it went well. It well may not have. But I would say it's definitely a step in the right direction, wouldn't you? In other words, Graham did meet with Mr. Shore. And I had some additional conversations with the people that hope to do the opening of the Sphinx. And I may be going over there. I have yet to make a decision about that. About whether or not I'm going to, but it would be a quick trip. And my function, I'm not an archaeologist, right? So I have no function there in determining, nor expertise in the ability to determine if what is found is valid or not. However, I can take a microphone over there and put it in front of the face of Graham, if he goes, Robert Bivol, if he goes, Richard Hoagland, and I presume he is going, and any others that are there that will render judgments about what is found. So on your behalf, our behalf, maybe I will go. I have not yet made up my mind. But it is surely tempting, and I would love to see it, as you can imagine. Popcorn works well in a mousetrap. You see the earth-shaking things we talk about here? Popcorn, huh? And then somebody else from Idaho says, tell your listener, called about the mouse bait, to super glue a walnut meat or almond meat onto the trap if it is a spring-type trap. If it's a trapdoor-type trap, just put the walnut or almond meats in the bait compartment. I have found that Mises can't refuse these tasty morsels. Lots of luck is needed also. Wade in Idaho. And be honest, Art, nowadays it's a smoker's dream job to work from home. Ann in Gig Harbor, Washington. You're damn right, Ann. That's as honest as I can be. You're right. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
How are you doing, Art?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Where are you?
I'm quite a ways north of Calgary, actually.
North of Calgary?
Yeah.
In a truck, I would say.
You betcha, yeah.
I see.
Unfortunately, some of us have to do this kind of thing, eh?
Oh, not that bad. Look, I'll tell you, truck driving is one of the things I think I would have done.
Oh, I think you're better off where you are, man.
Well, the grass is always greener, isn't it?
Hey, you got her. We don't have much green grass right now.
Are you driving in the snow?
Just a skip right here, yep.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
What are you hauling?
Chips.
Chips?
Yeah. From sawmills to pulp mills, you know what I mean?
Oh, those kind of wood chips, you mean?
Wood chips, yeah.
Okay.
You betcha. I just called to say, I can't quite pick you up on 77 up where I'm at here, on this new Calgary affiliate, but I do get you on Como 1000.
Well, I guess it all depends where you are.
You betcha. I've been listening to you for a couple months now. I love the show.
I do, too.
And actually, it's hard to get. I can usually catch the last hour of Bruce Williams, and then I catch your show from then on.
Well, one thing about me, I'm not Bruce Williams.
Hey, yeah, you're sure not. But both both super good shows.
Thank you, sir.
Really good shows.
Thank you very much.
I'd let you know.
Bruce is a very nice guy. It's just a different kind of thing that we do here. I thought he meant he was carrying soul catcher chips. Not really. Not really. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. This is Robert, murder capital of the world, New Orleans.
I don't know. I'm not so sure you're the murder capital anymore. Are you still?
Yeah, we're close enough to it to still be considered it.
I think you were eclipsed by somebody, and I can't remember who it is. Anyway, glad to hear from you in New Orleans again.
Well, I've been emailing the heck out of you, and I was one of those people that were bothering you over here.
Oh, man, I got thousands. I mean, they have... You have no idea how many listeners we have in New Orleans. I began to get an idea because when we went off there, when the station changed to music, I got fouled between email and faxes to me, to the network, to everybody concerned. We got thousands and thousands of calls.
Well, I can believe it because I remember going on the internet just on the local channel for New Orleans on AOL and people were going ape.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe that they'd do such a stupid thing. And then we started calling all the radio stations. Everyone trying to get you on.
Well, we made it. Here
yeah,
we are.
I just wanted to.
Do we sound? How do we sound? Good and clear on WSMB?
Actually, I pick you better on WSMB than I do on the other station.
On that other unnamed.
Yeah.
Blues.
Because usually
and...
I'm playing on my computer while I'm listening to you, and usually the computer messes up the other station, but this one comes in beautiful.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's good. That's good. So we're all pleased as punch here to be back in New Orleans.
Yeah, all the people where I work are all going to be listening to you again, too. So,
all right, well, pass the word around.
Oh, don't worry, not a problem.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care.
Take care. Yes, back in New Orleans. New Orleans is a place, and I used to say it, I'm saying it again now, we are going to visit New Orleans. I've been wanting to do that all my life. You know one of the fellows who was on the last cruise with us? Was the crawdad eating champion of the world from New Orleans. He ate, I'm guessing, I may be a little wrong, but I think to attain that championship, he downed 55 pounds of crawdads. This was a big guy. This was a really big guy. Well, to eat 55 pounds of crawdads, you'd have to be. Can you imagine that? 55 pounds of crawdads? The crawdad eating champion of the world. And he was very imposing. Very, very nice guy as well. And I've got, as a matter of fact, he gave me a t-shirt and some other stuff. The crawdad eating championship t-shirt. I've got that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, back from New Orleans.
Ah, New Orleans again. Yes, sir. Glad to hear from you.
Hey, glad to have you back. It's nice not to have to hunt at 1100 and 1200 to hear you at night. Of course, well, now, you know, won't be getting my sleep again since you're back in so clear, but I mean, what the heck?
Well, we're glad, obviously very glad to be on.
Yeah, the only thing is WSMB is going to cut you off at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, listen, that's not so bad. You get, what, 4 hours of the show?
No, we're only going to get 3 hours of the show.
3 hours of the show?
Yeah.
Let's see, what time is there? 2:30 now?
That's correct.
3:34. Well, so then you get... Well, that's not too bad. That's from... let's see, 1 to 4, you're getting it.
Yeah, you know, it's better than nothing, but, you know what we gotta do is get everybody that's listening to start calling WSMB and get you to on for the whole duration there.
Well, I can already give you some news. They're, talking about carrying Dreamland, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're definitely moving in the right direction.
Well, we gotta have Dreamland.
Alright, brother, thank you.
Welcome back, Art.
Thank you. We'll now open the East of the Rockies line to everybody, but as you can hear, New Orleans is back big time.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
I'm still trying to think of a good new name for Value Jet. Bad name. They need to change their name. What'd be a good name for Value Jet? And what presidential promise would you make? I'm still reflecting on the $1,000 every day of this fellow's presidency. I mean, even if he only lasted a couple of weeks, that'd be good, huh? Boy, I'll tell you, we could make some money here. And when you consider the ultimate size of the national debt right now, several weeks of $1,000 a person, let's see. Well, yeah, that'd add to it substantially, but what the hell? Wouldn't that be great? That's $14,000 a couple of weeks. Then he'd be impeached, of course, but you'd be $14,000 richer. I mean, that should draw your vote immediately. Like that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? Going once. I think we got a cellular lockout there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's Ed in Sunland, California.
Hi, Ed. How you doing?
Okay, and great news about being number one in L.A. and KBC carrying Dreamland, because I've been wanting to hear the show, and I get KVEG off and on. But
KVEG, you're being dyslexic.
Oh, well, I'm backwards. A couple of things. First, about, I know you heard all over the world on the Internet.
It's true.
And maybe somebody in Israel or one of the Arab countries could, call you up and give you their opinion about...
It's a good point.
Yeah, the meeting coming up and so forth. And...
if you were an Israeli, what would your attitude be right now?
Well, I would think that... I would want to protect my country most of all. That's the first thing. So,
yep.
It's tough. If you try to take the guns away from the Palestinians, the police, that is going to cause a civil war, and that's going to be a real bloody conflict that's going to be hard to resolve one way or the other. So, anyway, about another question about the somebody called in and said that somebody talked about using magnets on. For back pain and so forth?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to do some research for a fellow, and he was a pioneer in biomagnetics, it's called. And it does seem to work.
Well, the magnets would have to be shaped correctly, or they would give you back pain.
Probably.
I mean, if you're trying to sit on magnets, my God.
Well, yeah, that's true. And a name for a value jet.
Yes.
Chupacabra Airlines.
Chupacabra Airlines. Please. All right. Thank you very much, Chupacabra Airlines. Oh, the international line. He mentioned that, so that jogs me to mention it. You can call us from anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Boy, I've got some announcement I wish I could make. Some information I know about regarding Europe and this show, but I can't. I'm not allowed, I think, to talk about it yet. Actually, I don't know, but I've got to err on the side of caution. I'll find out about that. If I can announce it, I will. Anyway, if you're outside America and you want to call us, you can do it from any country in the world. Any of you listening to Real Audio out there on your computer right now, or hearing us because some of our big 50,000-watt stations go all over the world when the conditions are right. Either way, wherever you are, you can call us toll-free. We have got the first truly toll-free worldwide line. And the way you do it is call, in whatever country you're in, you call the AT&T operator. Get the AT&T operator for your country. Or, get my, we've got a list of the country codes on my webpage. And the international number is 800-893-0903. Give it a try. We'd love to hear from you wherever you are in the world. Again, the number is 800-893-0903. Now, it's got to come through AT&T, either by dialing the country code or getting the AT&T operator and have her call that number. 800-893-0903. First-time caller line, you're on the air. No, you're not. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi, you are.
Okay.
Couple quick comments. I just had this feeling, kind of a weird feeling. You get over to the pyramid, they go and open the chamber, and you ever see the Raiders of the Lost Ark when they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes, I saw it, and the big light goes zooming into the sky, and people start, I know.
Boy, that'd be a trip if something like that happened.
Well, see, I plan on standing back a little bit.
I don't blame you. I don't know if I'd even want to be there at the opening just for that reason. As far as the other night with Richard and...
be a hell of a way to go out, though.
Yeah, would it, though? I think that Graham, he made a comment to the effect that there was a lot of politics involved, and so it didn't...
There is.
I didn't understand why he couldn't understand what he said himself as far as little political tact in the situation, and that's what he lacks.
Well, he obviously, at least to some degree, rethought his position after the show, because he did attend a meeting, I am told, or was going to with Mr. Shore last night in New York.
And one more question. Next time you get Major Daines on, get him to remote view O.J. Simpson's that night the murder happened.
Well, it's not. See, everybody thinks it's just some little thing. You sit down and you do it. You don't. There's a whole team involved. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of money.
That would be a good one to look into?
Sure. I mean,
dying to know.
I mean, I want to know where Judge Crater is, too, and a lot of people. I want to know if Jimmy Hoffa is really buried below that stadium in Jersey, and I want to know a lot of things. But
I remember at the O.J. trial, you were kind of like me. We just had to have it every day, and so, I mean, that'd be a kind of icing on the cake to have him look into that one.
Well, it would, and I'm sure that it's on his list, but there are a lot of important things out there, and Flight 800 certainly was a big, important one. That was a pretty good, detailed report.
I'm still kind of just wondering about that one.
Aren't we all?
So many different conflicting opinions, but we may never know.
We may never know, or we may know, and if we do, we'll be able to specifically now check the information he gave us against what is, you know, found out.
Right. Value Checks named their company something more like along the lines of low fare flight. Something.
Well, now, see, that's the same psychology that I think is wrong for the name. In other words, with the crash in everybody's mind and the term value or economy or cheap is bad news.
Sure. I think once you've had a crash, just about any name you've got associated with that it's just bad news.
Well,
when you fly for a living and you put one on the ground, you could probably never take away the negative stimulus associated.
Well, when you're called Value Jet, that's true. But, I mean, TWA has not, as yet that I know of, suffered any passenger drop as a result of the crash they had.
Yeah,
so,
their time does kind of make people forget.
Yeah, the Value Jet is a new airline. They need a new name. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, we'll see you later, and we will be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Conscience, I guess. If I was walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me.
They say it's a winner. They all want me. They can't have me. So they all come and dance beside me. Move with me. Chat with me. And if you could, I'd take you home with me.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. I've got a presidential promise here. It's called The Great Promise. And this man says, this is Jerry, by the way, elect me, and I guarantee each person $1,000 each and every day of my presidency. And there is a picture of a pyramid at the bottom. And there are dollar signs on each side of it. And then over to the side, this is the real catch. It says, trust me. Now, how many of you, based on this, would vote for Jerry? I say again, $1,000 each and every day of Jerry's presidency. To all of you. For as long as the money lasts. And it's got a symbol of a hand with a crossed finger. Well, you see, you don't have to keep these promises. I'm merely asking you to make a promise, were you to run, something that would absolutely tempt the American people, and this might do it, $1,000 every day until he's impeached, I don't know. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Max from Santa Monica.
Hi, Max.
Yeah, I just want to mention something about Ray Bradbury. He called a local show here, George Putnam Show, and he wrote the book The Martian Chronicles.
Oh, yes.
And he said back in the early 70s, he went to the Tutankhamun exhibit, and he said on a break from one of his plays that was playing here, and he said, when I looked into, I don't know the words for it, but, you know, that common picture of the Tutankhamun thing, so to speak, he said, I saw Mars. And he said that on the air. He just kind of said that extemporaneously off the cuff.
I sure would like to interview Ray Bradbury, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And on a lighter note, I heard Bob Dornan today, and I was going to say this first. But he was on a talk show, and the host said, there's a liberal on the air, and he goes, that's great. He goes, feed me a liberal.
Liberal.
It was funny, just the way he said it.
Well, he eats them up, all right.
That's an odd juxtaposition, but thanks a lot. I've been trying, you know, as they all say, for a long time, and this is great. I was the guy that called you a long time ago, a few months ago, and I called before the show, and you said, what can I do for you, sir? And I said, I want to talk to Dick Holen. Remember that? Well, a lot of people do that, but I was that
a lot
guy.
Of people do that. All right. Well, listen, remember, beginning this coming Sunday, Dreamland on KAPC.
Oh, but also, people from New Orleans were saying they get it on other stations. I've had no problem here in Santa Monica getting on KBEG from Las Vegas.
KVEG.
I have a transistor radio. I have to kind of, like, you know, turn around a little bit, but to get it, no problem.
Right. Well, I'm glad it filled the bill.
Hey, but, thanks a lot, Art.
All right, sir. Take care. Finally coming to KABC, though. Thanks to all of you in KABC. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing? This is Matt from Grand Rapids.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you about something that I don't know if anybody in the air has ever talked to you about, which would be some of the... Actually, there's a problem happening in between the Michigan and Ohio and Indiana area with these parties called rave parties. I don't know if you've ever heard
no,
of
I've never heard of them. Rave parties?
Rave, R-A-V-E.
What do they do at rave parties?
Well, they it seems like it's a band of individuals that go and they rent out certain spaces, and basically they play this type of music. It's called techno music. And they do a lot of the ecstasy kind of drugs there, a lot of acid. And what it comes down to is that there's a little problem that's happening. And it's a lot of these kids are starting to flip out on some of the drugs that they're serving here at the rave parties. And it seems like none of the authorities around here seem to catch on to a lot of this. And it's so highly publicized that I just don't understand why it doesn't get busted.
How old are you?
Excuse me?
How old are you?
Well, I'm 23 years old.
23. Have you been invited to these parties? I mean, you're really aware of them, that kind of thing?
At one time, I had went last year, and what I saw there was something that it was just incredible, because when I went there with a group of friends that had asked me to go, and we received an underground flyer. And when I went in, it seemed like, you know, everybody was decked out in the punk rock type of look. And the whole party was just completely dark. It had this one tempo going throughout the party, and everybody was pretty much mesmerized by the beat of the music. And I know it sounds off the wall, but... And everybody was popping, you know, their drugs and whatnot, and it seemed to be ranging from the ages of 15 to even 30, 40-year-old people. And it's just like a real big drug mecca.
Well, nothing has changed. I mean, there may be a new name, but doing drugs is doing drugs. But it sounds to me like you're doing more ranting than raving.
Yeah, I'm not doing any raving. I'll put it to you that way.
All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, rave parties. Well, that's just a new name for the same old crap. Doing drugs. Drugs are back. Drugs are back. You know, that's really a shock to me. I mean, even the hallucinogenic drugs, the LSDs and mushrooms and all the rest of it. I thought all that had been done and gone. And same goes for speed, heroin, crack, all back. It's like a new generation. None of the old lessons stuck. There was progress, and then a new generation came along, and the same old problems back again. Probably give some strength to the argument that it's never going to be beaten. The drug war is not a war that is ever going to be won. And generation after generation will have to relearn the same lesson. It's weird. No memory, no genetic memory. We're not even really talking about genetic memory, just something passed on from dad, mom to children, you know, just didn't happen. Surveys show that parents who had done drugs during the drug years now assume that their children will, and that assumption has proven to be correct. They are. in massive numbers. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hello, Steve.
I think you should go.
To Egypt?
Yes.
Well, I'm leaning in that direction.
You know, your show has been, you know, such a forum, and there's a lot of integrity when you report things. And if anybody would be on the know besides the researchers involved, you would. I mean,
well, not as an expert. All I can do is to take the microphone there, which I can do. And it's going to be that, you know, remotes are hard.
Mm-hmm.
But a remote from Giza is going to really be hard. But if we go, that's what we will do. And it'll be a quick trip, and we will go over there and talk to all the people, the experts, who see mm-hmm. what is found, and we'll bring that to you live on the air. How would that be?
Well, I sure hope you do go. Say, about 3 weeks ago, I wrote to Professor Stan McDaniel
mm-hmm.
on some information. And in it, I mentioned that you had Carl Levinson
yes.
on.
Yes.
And I got a letter from him today. And among the some of the things that he said was that he would like to get a hold of, you know, Mr. Levinson to send him some things on Mars. And I faxed you a copy of his request to me tonight.
All right.
So you might want to look for that. As far as I can remember, he worked at the Southwest Research Institute down in Texas, but that's all I...
Right. I'll see what contact information I have, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Yes, sir. Take care. That's Steve in South Dakota. Dear Art, is it possible that Neanderthal man became what we now know of as Bigfoot? God, what a good question. Of course that's possible. Is it possible that Neanderthal man... If it is a separate species, which is what Reuters is reporting this morning, I'll read that article again maybe after the top of the hour, the vestiges of that could still be here and known as Bigfoot. Of course that's possible. Good thinking. That's Bill up at KEX Land. Very good, Bill. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
So what were they saying before, that we were descended from Neanderthal man?
Well, that was the generally accepted... explanation, yes, that the process of evolution had proceeded from Neanderthal man up to what we see today, about half Neanderthal.
Okay, a couple of other things really quick. Last night during your interview, you were doing with...
The group, yes.
Yeah, with the group. Let's see. They had a special on Discovery Channel about life on Mars.
Yes.
And what boggled my mind was they did about 20 minutes of the scientific rock itself. They went sidetracked on all these clips from all these amusing movies in the past about Mars invasions.
Yeah.
They even went as far as to show the office in London that has take bets on intelligent life.
Takes bets?
Yeah, on what in intelligent life. Takes bets on the intelligent life.
Well, how much would you put money on that?
All I know is it went way closer to what they would say the odds are more in favor when the rock was publicized. But further, what was really obvious is they aren't touching anything in that whole hour, anything to come near Cydonia, Hoagland, or any of that stuff. It's almost like they're saying they're not making fun of it.
No.
They're not showing it. It's just nothing.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996.
Of course, we are talking about what's going on in the Middle East to some degree. The same thing that's always going on in the Middle East to some degree. And I wonder just how you would feel if you were an Israeli. I mean, think about that. If you were an Israeli right now, how would you feel about what's going on? Would you want the peace process to continue? Or would you be satisfied with it falling apart and an uneasy truce continuing? No more land for peace. Makes the whole Golan Heights look a little closer than usual. Than it usually does, doesn't it? I mean, you look up there and it just overlooks Israel and... you might not feel like giving it back tonight. Anyway, That is up for discussion. ValueJet is going back into the air, and I have said, in the first couple hours of the program, say again now, they had to change their name. You know, I'm sure that they have been gone over by a fine-tooth comb, an FAA fine-tooth comb, so I would imagine they're as safe as any airline. But the name is wrong. The name is wrong now. ValueJet, that's the wrong name. As I said earlier, people psychologically associate, they certainly want good deals. And ValueJet was a good name for an aircraft company that hadn't had a problem. When after a problem, then ValueJet doesn't work so well as a name, my opinion. Because you don't want a little bit better buy on something that might not make it to the other end. And even if that's not the real truth, that is the impression, and so it makes the name, I think, a detriment, and I think they had to change their name, and so we've been examining new names for ValueJet. And here is one submission. Art, long time, no facts. This is Ray in Santee, and he thinks it should be called ValiumJet. ValiumJet. It really wouldn't work either, but it is enticing. Will this be a 5 or 10 milligram flight? I guess that would depend on where you're going. And then we have a very, very, very interesting story from this morning from Reuters News. And I'll read it to you in its entirety, and you can make of it what you want, but it's surprising. Scientists believe they have sniffed out, little joke from Reuters, an answer to a long-standing question in anthropology whether Neanderthals were an ancestor of modern humans. The answer is no. Thanks to a detailed study of the nose. Anthropologists at the American Museum of Natural History in New York and the University of Pittsburgh have analyzed the noses, sinuses, and nasal cavities of 5 Neanderthal fossils. The conclusion? The differences from today's humans strongly support the notion that Neanderthals are not part of modern man's evolutionary past. Anthropologists have long been divided into two camps, one believing Neanderthals were the ancestors of Homo sapiens, and the other believing they represent a distinct evolutionary branch. Neanderthals disappeared 30,000 years ago. So we are not related to Neanderthal man. Somebody else sent me a fax. Suggesting that perhaps Neanderthal man is still around, and that is what we now refer to as Bigfoot. Now, there is an intriguing idea, huh? Now, here's a cruel one from Andy in L.A. Art, is it possible that Neanderthal man became what we now know as Bob Dole? That really, really is cruel, Andy. Cruel. Bob Dole has enough problems right now without this sort of thing. Neanderthal man, Bob Dole. Bob Dole is a good man, not a good campaigner, maybe not a good debater. We'll find out. Oh, the debate's coming up next Sunday. And as I said earlier, I've got major third-party candidates scheduled following each one of the debates. But you know something I found out, and this is at the expense of probably some of these guys getting mad at me and not becoming angry with me, I guess I ought to say, and not coming and making their appearance, but I don't care. They don't want to debate each other. You know, they're all bitching that they want to be included in the debates with Bob Dole and President Clinton. But I tried to arrange, believe me, I tried to arrange. I heard from every single one of the third-party candidates. Every one of them. And so I tried to arrange alternative debates. And let me tell you something. Nobody wants to debate down. If they figure that they're in a better position than the guy who wants to debate them, they're not going to do a debate. So the truth of the matter is, bitch as they may about not being in the big ballpark debates, they don't want to debate each other. So this whole debate thing is problematic, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. It really is not a good debate. That really isn't the word I'm looking for. I don't know. In other words, for all their complaining, they are no different than the other candidates. And, of course, we have presidential debates, but I think that if President Clinton didn't have to debate Bob Dole, he would pass. From his point of view, he doesn't need it. So we'll get back to open lines. I've got an incredible story here from the Daily Telegraph in London entitled Soul Catcher Implants. Man, you are not going to believe this. Okay, here we go. Digest the following, if you will. British scientists are developing a concept for a computer chip which, when implanted into the skull behind the eye, will be able to record a person's every lifetime thought and sensation. According to Dr. Chris Winter of British Telecom's Artificial Life Team, and I quote here, this is the end of death. He predicts that within 30 years, it's going to be possible to relive other people's lives by playing back their experiences on a computer by, quote, combining this information with a record of a person's genes. We could recreate a person physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Dr. Winter and his team of scientists at BT's Martlesham Health Laboratories near Ipswich call the chip the Soul Catcher. British Telecom would not divulge how much money it is investing in the project. However, Dr. Winter said, it was taking Soul Catcher 2025 very seriously. He confessed there were profound ethical considerations, but emphasized that BT was embarking on this line of research so it could keep at the forefront of communications technology. Dr. Winter said, quote, an implanted chip would be like an aircraft's black box and would enhance communications beyond current concepts. Quote, for example, police would be able to use it to relive an attack, rape, or murder from the victim's viewpoint to help catch the criminal. I could even play back the smells, sounds, and sighs of my holidays to friends. Other more frightening applications include downloading an older person's experiences into a newborn baby by transplanting the chip. My source on this, the Daily Telegraph, the Daily Mail, July 18th, 1996. The Soul Catcher. Literally recording everything in a person's life. That would be that person. Would that be that person's soul? Maybe not. But it's pretty close. Wow. You would be able only to download or record those people who would allow the chip to be implanted. But then, in some sense, they would be immortal. Everything they had done, felt, touched, tasted, experienced in life could be relived by their relatives, others. God, can you imagine that Soul Catcher? On our international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yes, sir.
Hey, calling from Edmonton.
Edmonton, Alberta. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the place that beats Calgary when it comes to cold, for sure.
Is it actually colder in Edmonton than Alberta? I mean, Calgary?
In general, though.
In general?
Yeah, we hit the, I call it the equinox, minus 40.
Minus 40?
Fahrenheit versus Celsius, sir.
Wonderful. And what do you do when it gets to be minus 40?
When?
No, what do you do when it gets to be minus 40?
Go inside football-sized domes and water parks, indoor water parks. Escape room, basically. And the odd trip to Nevada really helped.
Yes. Do you come down here every now and then?
As much as possible, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
I can imagine.
You bet.
Well, we're beginning to get an awful lot of listeners up there.
Oh, I've been catching you on the net now for about 7 months.
Oh, really? Well, now you have CHED.
Well, it sure frees up some bandwidth on this 14.4.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Yeah. I just thought maybe, I don't know if you've covered this issue, and I'd like to go back in the archives and find it if you do have covered it.
What's that?
Eye scans and thumb scans.
Eye scans and thumb scans?
And their potential for ruining our privacy.
Well,
in the future.
Talk about ruin. How about the soul catcher implant?
Well, that's a big one. That's a little far off in the future.
Well, it is, but not that far. 2025, they say, it'll be all set to go, and you could literally archive your entire life. That's an incredible thing. And then download that life to somebody else.
That goes along with a movie I've seen not too long ago. I forget the name of it, but it's very similar to that type of experience.
Well, maybe I could live my next life as a Canadian.
Oh, it's not bad. Nice place.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Take care. Can you imagine that? Or as a Japanese. Or as a Russian. What about living your life as a famous person? They would have files of lives. And you could go in and download and live their life. Brave new world, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Adrian in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello.
I just wanted to ask you something about the anti-gravity experiment.
Yes, sir.
They stated that objects up above and even in the room above that lost weight, possibly.
Up to 2%, yes.
Okay, I was just going to mention something called standing columnar waves. And this is,
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a stack of, it's like non-Hertzian waves, like a scalar wave.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
And they stack up on each other like circular forms.
Right.
And they keep on going. They'll go all the way out into space. And I just wanted to mention, bring some of that to light.
Well, RF, thank you. RF energy also goes on and on and on. If you pick a frequency which is not absorbed or reflected by the ionosphere. Now, 200 meters, or the broadcast band, AM broadcast band, is reflected largely by the ionosphere. And comes back to Earth, largely. Now, FM radio, for example, is at a high enough frequency that it is not reflected by the ionosphere, 99% of the time or more, and it just goes sailing out into space and keeps on going. So I'm on a lot of FM stations as well, and presumably the signal is going on out there. Has been now for years. I'm still blown by this soul catcher thing. Can you imagine that? One person downloaded to another. That's getting pretty close to godlike, isn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, this is Andy in Clackamas, Oregon, less than 1190 KEX.
Yes, Andy.
I got a couple of things I'd like to say.
Say them.
Once they find the Ark of the Covenant, what do they plan on doing with it?
I don't have any idea, Andy. How would I know?
And another thing is a promise. You know, I promise that there will be no racism.
You promise there will be no... Oh, I see. As president?
Yeah.
All right. President Andy promises an immediate end to all racism. That's almost as good as a $1,000 a day promise. You're allowed to promise anything you want. And then you can end it up with, trust me. Your slogan, trust me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Jerry in Northwest Arkansas.
Jerry, you're going to have to yell into your phone a little. You're hard to hear.
Okay, is that better?
That's better.
Okay, good. When you had Graham Hancock on.
Yes, sir.
You lost, or he lost me when he started talking about UNESCO. And then you mentioned what would happen if it were happening here.
Right.
It is happening here.
Well, I know. And a lot of people are very ticked off about it, aren't they?
Yes. You know, we're going through a biosphere thing here in northwest Arkansas. And it's on our local radio stations. And
what biosphere thing? I thought that was in Arizona.
Oh, no. They're all over. There are 47 of them in the country.
You're kidding.
That are designated. And,
Oh, you mean designated areas.
Right.
Well, there is an actual thing called the biosphere down in
right.
Arizona.
This
that's
is different. This is under the UN with the UNESCO.
Yeah.
And we just barely dodged the bullet in becoming a biosphere area. Here.
Well, what would have happened had you become a biosphere area? What would that have meant?
Okay, it would have meant about, 3 million acres of private and public land would have been part of the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they take basically three areas. One area is a core area that does not allow human habitation. It's strictly wilding, the rewilding of America. Then they take an area around that that has limited access, and then a third area around that where they allow humans.
Well, that's interesting. I've never been exactly sure about all that, but no humans, huh? Sheesh. Biosphere. I love Boutros. Did you anybody hear that the other day? Boutros Ghali said that, and he was making fun of everybody, said, I like sitting here, stalling reform. And this is not an exact quote, but blocking reform, I think he said. Flying my black helicopters. And there was something else. Anyway, it was a riot. Boutros has a sense of humor, at least. Well, good morning. On my international line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Malaysia. My name is Phoon Yen. And I wrote to you, and you sent me a newsletter of After Dark by Art Bell, and a letter and a picture of you.
Oh, yes. I remember we did send that to you. And as a matter of fact, I read your letter on the air.
You did?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, good. There's no way I can receive your broadcast in Malaysia. I get your tapes from a friend in Kirtland.
Kirtland, Washington?
In Washington?
Yes, uh-huh.
Washington.
If you have a... Do people in Malaysia have the internet?
Yeah, we do.
Well, you can hear my show on the internet there.
Oh, yeah? But
yes.
I'm not on the internet.
Oh, I see. Well, if you're able to get on the internet, you indeed can get my show. Where are you in Malaysia?
I'm in the capital city, Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur. Very good. Well, you it was a wonderful letter that you sent to me.
Oh, thank you.
And and I think everybody enjoyed hearing about it, hearing about Malaysia. And you're now talking to the rest of the world. So what would you like to tell everybody in America and Canada about Malaysia?
Oh, it's a beautiful country. It's hot and humid, and it's green the whole year round. And we would like for you to visit us, Art Bell.
I would love to visit Malaysia. So you get tapes of the program then, huh?
Yeah, a friend of mine from Kirtland keeps the tape for me until I next go. I'll be going in November.
In November?
Yes.
Okay, give me your name again, slowly.
Okay, Phoon, F-O-O-N.
Phoon.
Yen. Y-E-N.
Phoon Yen.
You want my last name, too?
No, we don't allow last names, but Phoon Yen, that's just fine. And Phoon Yen, will you please call me again?
Okay, I will.
Okay. And,
okay, I will.
I'm glad you've got the photograph, Phoon Yen, and one day I will come and visit you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Thank you, dear. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That's Phoon Yen. In Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, in Malaysia, and I did send her my photograph. I don't do that very often, but for Phoon Yen, I sent it along.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996.
Top of the morning. Wasn't that nice hearing from Phuong Yen? Yeah, she wrote me a beautiful letter from Malaysia, and she didn't want to repeat, I'm sure, a lot of things she said in the letter, but in the letter she said, "You Americans have no idea how lucky you are. The things that you can say about your own government, if I said them here, I'd go to jail." She said, "What a wonderful country you have." She's right. And there she was from Kuala Lumpur. And I did. I sent her an autographed copy of my picture and a newsletter and some stuff. Anyway, listen. I've got another fax here from Ed Dames. But first, let me once again give out the international number. You can call us toll-free from anywhere in the world. The world. That's right, anywhere. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, or London, or anywhere else. Wherever you are, give it a try. It works. And here's how you do it. You get the AT&T operator on the line. I don't know how you do that. You call your operator and say, "Give me that AT&T operator for America, please." Or you get the country code, the AT&T USA direct country code for your country. Then you call, or have the operator call, 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. Give it a try, no matter where you are in the world. Central America, South America, Europe, Asia, doesn't matter. It will not cost you any money. It is toll-free. Now, from SciTech, Ed Dames, SciTech, a follow-up fax. Project, the Nicole Simpson murder weapon / disposal site and present location. That work completed in the winter of 1995, 12 weeks of TRV work. Technical remote viewing. Results are going to be made public in the next few months, including the site film footage. I'll keep you posted. I have to teach in the morning, so I'm going to bed. Good night. Ed, P.S. We'll get around to Jimmy Hoffa eventually. And I've got a very detailed report on Flight 800 from Ed Dames. Very detailed. Here's another entry in the new name for ValueJet Airlines. This is a good one, too. Phoenix Airlines. Of course, that would imply that it's from Phoenix, Arizona, I suppose, which might not be good. But, you know, rising from the ashes, well, maybe it wouldn't be good. But that's where it comes from. On my international line, you're on the air. Hello. Oh, I pushed the wrong button. There you are. Hello. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm in Sapporo, Japan.
In Japan, Sapporo, Japan. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm an avid listener from Portland, Oregon. I came over here about 3 weeks ago, and I really missed your program.
Well, what are you doing over there?
I'm on an internship. I just graduated from college with a degree in Japanese, and I'm over here doing some computer work. And we have a bunch of computers here hooked up to the internet, so I'm able to listen to your broadcast once in a while.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, I was in Japan about, well, a little over a year ago, and I was absolutely shocked at the prices and how far the American dollar did not go. It's a little better right now, but how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, well, this is my third trip to Japan. I lived here for a year before, so I'm pretty much used to the expensive stuff, but I know from living here before what not to do, and that is to spend a lot of money on food, because food is expensive, and you can easily spend all your money on, you know, eating out. And the best thing to do is just try to eat cheap food and don't spend too much money.
Well, when I too lived in Japan for quite a while, and I was poor, and I'll tell you, for a long time I subsisted on ramen. I ate a lot of ramen.
I've eaten plenty of that in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Give us an idea. Typically, if you could give us a reference for an item that we know, what are prices like now?
Okay, well, just for an example, Coca-Cola, everybody knows that. A can of Coke is about $1.10 American money. And the thing is, if you buy six, you have to pay $6.60. You can't get a discount for buying six cans like you can in a normal supermarket in America.
Oh, that's terrible.
And let's see, like, if you want to eat out in a restaurant, just a cheap restaurant, just a quick one-person meal, and something that's going to fill you up, you're going to have to pay at least $12 or $15, I would say.
Suppose I wanted to rent a house that would be equivalent to a house that that I might be able to get here in America, you know, a regular American-style house.
Okay, housing for a house, I'm not really sure. For an apartment, it's about the same, actually, about like $500 or $600 a month for a pretty decent place. For a family who wanted to live in a house, I would say you're going to have to spend at least maybe $1,200 or $1,500 a month, which isn't that bad.
No, that's actually fairly comparable, isn't it?
Yeah. Rent, I found, is pretty comparable. But food and just daily necessities like gasoline and, you know, whatever you might need usually is quite a bit more expensive.
Now, you obviously are fluent in Japanese, but I found when I was there, and I attained a fair amount of fluency when I was there, but I found that Japanese, for the most part, think that Americans are crazy.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of misconceptions about Americans. Like, a lot of people often ask me if I have a gun, which I'm sure a lot of Americans do, but not everybody. And I often get asked, yeah, do you have a gun, and how many guns do you own, and, you know, do you sleep with your shoes on?
What do you tell them?
I say, of course not. Well, about the gun, I say, you know, well, my dad has a gun because he's a policeman, but I don't have a gun, and not many of my friends have guns, but I don't sleep with my shoes on.
Well, next time they ask, tell them you sleep with your shoes on and your gun.
Yeah. And then the two most common questions are, can you eat sushi and do you use chopsticks? Those are pretty much everybody's going to ask you that.
Yeah, well, do you eat sushi?
Yeah, some. Yeah, it's not my favorite food, but I can eat it.
I got burned out on sushi when I was there, so I don't need it anymore. Well,
yeah,
listen, my friend, is Sapporo? I've never been to Sapporo. Is it a pretty city?
Yeah, I've been to most everywhere around Japan, and this is the most unique place in Japan I've ever been. The streets are wide, like wider than the streets I'm used to in Portland. The scenery is beautiful, and the trees are really green. The only problem is it starts to snow in November, and I heard it doesn't stop until April. So I'm not really looking forward to that, but it's a really nice place.
Well, listen, will you do me a favor? And how much longer are you going to be over there?
Probably about 6 months, actually. So.
All right. Well, we will look forward to hearing from you again, and particularly if anything happens in that part of the world, we really would like to know. Are they reporting heavily in Japan on the events in the Middle East?
I haven't seen much about it. That kind of news I usually get from the CNN's website, but not really. I'd like to catch up on that. Mostly they just report about Japanese news.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so very much for your call, and enjoy Sapporo.
Thank you. It's really nice talking to you.
Take care. That's Sapporo, Japan. And again, see, when I get a call, then I am then encouraged to give my number out again. And again, it is free from wherever you are in the world, Kuala Lumpur, or Sapporo, Japan, or London or anywhere, really. The international toll-free number, you get the AT&T operator. That's the easy way. If you don't know what you're doing with direct dialing, get the AT&T operator and have her call our toll-free international line, thanks to AT&T, which is 800-893-0903. One more time. That's 800-893-0903. Let me reread this article because, first of all, you should know the source on this is the Daily Telegraph. The Daily Mail, 18 July 96. This will blow your mind. Soul catcher implants. British scientists are developing a concept for a computer chip, which when implanted into the skull behind the eye, will be able to record a person's every lifetime thought and sensation. Dr. Chris Winter of British Telecom's artificial life team said, quote, "This is the end of death," end quote. He predicts that within 30 years, it'll be possible to relive other people's lives by playing back their experiences on a computer. By combining this information with a record of a person's genes, we could actually recreate a person's a physical, emotional, and spiritual life. Dr. Winter and his team of scientists at BT's Martlesham Health Labs near Ipswich call the chip the Soul Catcher. It's probably a good name. British Telecom would not divulge how much money it is investing in the project, but Dr. Winter said it was taking Soul Catcher 2025 very seriously. He confessed there are profound ethical considerations, but emphasized that BT was embarking on this line of research so it could keep at the forefront of communications technology. Dr. Winter said, quote, "An implanted chip would be like an aircraft's black box and would enhance communications beyond current concepts. For example, police would be able to use it to relive an attack, rape, or even murder from the victim's viewpoint to help catch the criminal. I could even play back the smells, sounds, and size of my holidays to friends." Other more frightening applications include downloading an older person's experiences into a newborn baby by transplanting the chip. Now, how's that for a tingle down the back? If you could relive a portion of somebody's life, who would you choose? I mean, literally relive it. The full experience. See what they saw. Feel and touch what they felt and touched. Smell what they smelled. Love what they loved. God, what a concept. Soul Catcher. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
I just wanted to say about this Soul Catcher, is that
yes.
what it's called?
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Tucson.
Tucson.
Yeah. This would mean the end of a little kid's lying to their parents about anything. Mom would just say, "Let me see your chip," and the kid would be like, "Well,
let me plug you in."
Yeah.
To the future version of the PC, and they'd play it back, and the kid would be caught. Yeah, you're
which
right.
Would
the
mean
end of everything.
It would just like take away the whole aspect of a kid's life, like trying to get out of.
Just think of it. What fun could there be in life if you couldn't lie?
Exactly. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. What fun in life if you can't lie? We live with lies, don't we? Sure we do. And that brings me back to my topic of a prime minister or a president's lie to the people. If you could lie, any lie, tell the people what they want to hear, with no intention whatsoever of keeping your promise to get elected, what lie would you tell? I still like the guy who said, "I will give each and every individual in this country $1,000 every day of my administration." Of course, he'd be impeached within, what do you figure, a few weeks. But it's a hell of a promise. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm in El Paso.
El Paso, Texas.
This is Martin calling.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just had a quick thought for you on the name for ValueJet.
Yes.
Because I absolutely agree with you. It's a terrible name. I mean, it just sounds like...
Well, it wasn't a terrible name in the beginning. I mean, it was
well,
okay
probably
then.
Not, but with this, with the crash, yes, yes, unfortunately.
So, what would you change the name to?
Well, it's a kind of a humorous thing, but how about sugar-free air?
Sugar-free air?
Yeah, or even maybe Airlines Light.
Airlines Light. I kind of like Valium
well,
Jet. You know, five
you know,
or
that's
10 milligrams
more upbeat than the some of the other less pleasant. I mean, the Phoenix, you know, rising out of ashes thing, like ouch.
Yeah.
Yep, sure enough.
Well, Phoenix, I thought first, oh, what a neat name. Then I thought, no, that too is suggestive of the past.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
Exactly. Well, listen, Art, you got a great show. Keep up the good work. I just wanted to stick my nose in with the Airlines Light or sugar-free airlines, you know, no frills kind of thing.
I've got you. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Take care. Art, with regard to the Soul Catcher, who in the world would have the time to relive somebody else's life? I barely have enough time to live my own. Tamar. That's a neat name. Tamara? T-A-M-A-R in L.A. And she says, P.S., thanks is not enough to say for my extreme gratefulness that you finally got us a direct connection to Dreamland. My husband and daughter were ready to disown me because I wouldn't go out to dinner on Sunday night since KVEG did not come in clearly enough to record it. Well, depends on your antenna. But it's true, beginning this coming Sunday, KABC will indeed run Dreamland beginning at midnight on Sunday night, Monday morning. So, thank you, KABC. And that kind of completes the circle, and Dreamland is now solidly back in Southern California. On our international line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Roper in Calgary.
In Calgary, huh?
Calgary, Alberta. Yeah, I'm catching you on the KGA station out of Spokane.
Well, you know what? You know what? You're about to be able to catch me in about 10 minutes on CHQR.
Oh, that's when it comes on, eh?
That's right.
Right on. Great. Love to listen to the program. And I did talk to them some time ago about carrying the program because they... also affiliated with some Vancouver network and some other Canadian stations. But the reason I'm phoning, I had this the mysteries of the pyramid and the Sphinx have been attractive to me for many years. And
oh yes,
I came across a book that I still have in my possession that was written by the Templars many years ago.
Oh, we talked about the Templars once.
And it has in that book, it's called From Atlantis to the Latter Days. And within it is a description of the Sphinx and the chambers below the Sphinx and the interconnecting passageways from the Sphinx, which is a major, a really major chamber underneath the whole embodiment of the Sphinx.
Let me ask you what I think is the operative question right now, and it's the one I've been pondering because I may, as you know, I'm going over there.
Mm-hmm.
If they open this chamber and if there is a history of mankind that we have not known before, one that radically changes what we thought was our past, are we ready for that information?
I don't think the average person is, but I do think that certain people are ready.
Maybe you are. I am. I'm not even sure about me.
I know there's a lot of mysteries in life. Metaphysics has been a passion of mine for a long time. As a matter of fact, I have written a letter to Brian O'Leary about some of my own history, which correlates with some of his.
Oh, wasn't that a good...
I read his three...
wasn't that a good interview?
Oh, beautiful. And his books are incredible because the paradigm shift that he relates to in Marilyn Ferguson's work and so forth and his own experience in the scientific community is definitely moving at a rapid pace.
I agree.
And I can see the acceleration will pick up with the
shifts in economic stability in the country and the Western world, because they're all moving in lockstep. But what I wanted to add to that Mysteries of the Hall below the Sphinx is that there's interconnecting passageways in various rooms. And according to that book, the they connect to the three pyramids, including a Cheops. And they're just passageways that are large enough for individuals to move through, and they were supposedly used for the initiations of the priesthood.
Well, maybe.
And as a matter of fact, the Casey material did indicate that the Hall of Records was not directly below the Sphinx, but someplace between the Sphinx and the Nile to the east as the sun rises at a certain time. Certain alignments of the sun and the solar system would reflect something that indicated the position of the Hall of Records.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. That's where we're going. And the Hall of Records. I don't know if we ought to be in there. But I guess we're going in there. And I've done, as you can imagine, a lot of reflection on that lately.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 30th, 1996.
Boy, do I have some news for Los Angeles. I can. The, actually, two pieces of news. Number one, the summer survey is out. That's the next survey following spring. And once again, in Los Angeles, number one in this time slot, number one on KABC in Los Angeles. That's announcement number one. Boy, I like this song. Announcement number two. Beginning this next Sunday at midnight, KABC will begin running Dreamland. Long wait is over. That's right. They're going to time shift it. They've got earlier programming on. But beginning this next Sunday, this coming Sunday, KABC will begin airing Dreamland at midnight Sunday, or midnight Monday, depending on how you look at it. And I thought you folks down in L.A. just might want to know. Dreamland, L.A., this week. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art Bell. This is Frank in New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans.
Yes, I'm glad to hear you back on down here. I've been tuning in on my old shortwave radios. On, listen to you from 1100 in Cleveland and 1220.
Boy, you can San pull. You can pull Cleveland out down there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's some big signal. TAM has a big signal. Holy mackerel.
Yes, sir. WSMB, I'm glad they got you on back. I've been a fan of you for over a year and a half. When I first, my son told me about a program, and I tuned you in.
Your son told you about it.
Yes, and he told me about it, and I've been listening to you ever since, and this is the first time I got through to you.
Well, we're sure glad to be on down there. And back on, I guess, down there. And I'm sorry, the old affiliate decided that they would...
Yeah, they went to all blues music.
That's what I heard, blues and rap and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh.
I have a little statement about the Neanderthal man.
Yeah, the late news, a lot of people are tuning in at midnight, so they won't know. The Reuters News is reporting that scientists have just announced that according to research on noses, they have now determined that Neanderthal man had no relationship to modern man whatsoever, which means the Neanderthal man was a totally separate species of sentient being. Yeah, that's really weird, isn't it?
Well, he may not be completely different, because in Peter Thomas's Tomes's book on the Shore of Endless Seas, he has a picture of a Nathaniel man with Professor Homme of the French Institute of Humanities. A book was printed back in the early 60s, and in Robert Cherou's book, 100,000 Years of Prehistory.
Actually, I just talked to my wife a little while ago, and she said, she assures me that some Neanderthals survive even today.
Yes, they have pictures of them, you know.
I see.
Alive, right. In North Africa.
In North Africa. All right, sir, well, I've got to run. I appreciate the call from New Orleans once again. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
And I was watching those vice president debates, you know, and I was picking up on Ross Perot, a little bit of a sideshow like he's doing. Is like he was, his vice president running mate was saying, like, if he gets 5% of the population vote, you know, of the vote,
yes,
like he's going to get 50% funding for the next race or whatever. And if he gets 25%, and he'll get 100% funding for the next presidential race, or his party will.
Well, he doesn't need to worry about that. They're not going to get 25%. They'll be lucky to get 5.
Yeah, they're lucky to get 5, but I think that's very subjective. Cause
they're pulling out now at about 6.
Yeah.
I think that will be actually less during the election, unless these big half-hour extravaganzas they have on TV, or hope to have on TV, prove out. We'll see.
Yeah. But what do you think? That's pretty, you know, petty. He's just trying to get his party
federal
going
dollars,
and not really caring about what's going on in the nation.
It takes money to get the message out, so I don't know if it's petty, but.
Okay. Well, I just was wondering what you thought about that.
All right. Thank you very much. That's what I think about it. Here in the U.S., we have matching dollars. You know, the federal government, at a certain point, begins to match campaign dollars in America. And tax dollars. What do I think about it? Well, necessary evil is what I think about it. In other words, it takes a lot of money to run. So I guess it's a necessary evil. I like a fact somebody said sent me the other day. They said, vote for Satan. Why settle for a lesser evil? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Ivan.
Hello, Ivan. Where are you?
I'm actually east of the Rockies.
You can't be east of the Rockies on this line.
I'm listening to the station on 77 KOB.
Well, they're east of the Rockies, but where are you?
I'm in Vail, Colorado.
Vail, Colorado. Vail, Colorado. Well, yeah, you could be calling on this line. That's true. But I'm reserving this for Los Angeles. Didn't you hear me say that?
I thought you were reserving it for Canada.
No. Well, I was last hour.
I've been listening to the news. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. All right. Thank you very much for the call. No, now I'm reserving it for Los Angeles. Okay, so we'll hold this line for L.A. I don't do that very frequently, but I mean, it's a big announcement. As I said, we're celebrating two things, our number oneness and Dreamland, which begins this coming Sunday on KBC, and a lot of people have been waiting for that. Good morning, West of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Be Todd Bell?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, I'd like to...
No, wait. Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay, good.
First name, Edward.
Hi, Edward.
Hi. I'd like to say that I believe that President Clinton is going to retain his lead and is going to win the election handily, and I believe that's because of his excellent economic policies. When I look at the fact that we have 10.5 million new jobs, that's a net gain of new jobs in the private sector and private industry. When I look at that, when I look at the fact that the unemployment rate is at an all-time low, about 5.1%.
Interest rates are low.
For the last 6 years.
Yeah. Interest rates are low.
Yes, that of course.
And now, there's no argument. The economy is in good shape, and that is indeed what's going to get him reelected.
Yes, and I also am impressed by the fact that he still plans to continue with adding 100,000 police officers on the streets of our major cities. I know he's got part of that accomplish, but he needs to, in order for to have the rest of it accomplished, we need to get Democrats in Congress who will also support that, since I know Newt Gingrich is against it.
Well, I doubt that you're going to get Congress. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen. You are going to get President Clinton back, but the American people are going to do what they generally almost always do, and that is put a president of one party in and a Congress of the other party. And I'll bet you that's what happens.
Well, I'd like to see him with a Congress that at least agrees with his ideas. The thing about President Clinton is I think he's taken both the best of the ideals of the Republican Party and the best, most pragmatic ideas of the Democratic Party.
He has.
And he's synthesized them into a new type of pragmatic politics that I think is helpful to the people. And if you look at a lot of those positions, you'll see that they don't appeal to the old-style liberals. They're not satisfied with it, and the extreme right conservatives aren't. I think he's heading.
No, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what he's done. You call it pragmatic. I might come up with a different word, but well, it is that. And he has stolen ideas, the best of all the ideas, and really, in a lot of ways, that's okay. I mean, that's what a politician does.
And I think he's very good on the crime issue by bringing down to the federal level,
yep,
the three strikes, and you get 25 years to life in prison at the federal level. Mm. And other Republicans have talked about it, but President Clinton got that through at the federal level. And he's also I like his ban on the 19 different types of automatic assault weapons.
Well, that's asinine.
Well, I think it's important to keep those out of the hands of criminals and street gangs, and I think that's an excellent idea.
Well, now you've hit one where I'll argue with you a little bit. The assault weapon ban is stupid.
Well,
first of all,
here in LA.
No, it isn't.
Well,
it's not effective anywhere. You can go out and buy just about any one of those guns. They've made minor little changes, gone around the ban altogether, and even if the ban was in place and actually banning those weapons, what good does it do? Because if you want a gun, you can go down and buy a 30-06, semi-automatic 30-06.
Well, I think it's important that the police on the streets of our cities are not outgunned by the street gangs.
Well,
and
yeah,
the
but
criminals.
You didn't hear me. I can outgun a cop with a 30-06 semi-automatic.
Well, I'd like to see it continued to ban that as well.
Ah,
yes.
Now we get to the root of it. And what about handguns? Shouldn't they be banned?
No, I'm a supporter of the right to keep and bear arms, just like President Clinton is a supporter of the right to keep and bear arms.
Well, you would ban a 30-06 hunting rifle?
Only if it was on the type that what you said that would be converted. Now, that's against the law.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word about conversion, sir. I said a semi-automatic.
Well,
see,
I'm not going to get down into each particular gun level.
Well,
we're going to talk about...
Yeah, it's well that you wouldn't, because you're wrong. Look, I appreciate your call, but you're dead wrong. You study that issue a little bit. I can, it's clear you're a Clinton fan. You're not totally wrong about the economy. It's in pretty good shape at the moment. That'll get him reelected. That's how politics works. The American people vote their pocketbook. Period. But the assault rifle ban is asinine. It's just plain asinine. I'm sorry. It means nothing. It's utterly meaningless. It's a feel-good kind of thing. Stupid. So you're wrong about that. You go study this assault rifle ban, and then what do you want to do? You want to ban all semi-automatic hunting rifles? Well, you're going to have to, and if you don't, then the ban they do have in place is meaningless. Totally, utterly meaningless. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Darren calling from Nashville.
Nashville. Yes, sir. You're on the air?
Yeah, I was wanting to call on your comment about the presidential promise.
Oh, yes. Well, what promise would you make to absolutely entice the American people, a promise that you would not have to keep?
Convert free aircraft carriers to cruise ships and allow everyone a free cruise to the Caribbean every year.
Why stop at the Caribbean? I mean, if you've got three of them, you might send one to the Caribbean, one to Europe, one to Asia.
We could send one to Cairo with you.
That's true. No, that's a pretty good idea. a conversion of aircraft carriers to cruise ships. I'll bear that one in mind, sir. Thank you. Conversion of aircraft carriers to cruise ships. Boy, you could have some. Of course, you'd have to change a lot of things. Nobody would want to bunk as they bunk in an aircraft carrier. But on the other hand, for free passage, maybe so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art Bell.
That's me.
Okay, good day.
Good day.
Art?
Yes, where are you?
I am in Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, listening to KABC.
But of course.
Looking forward to the Dreamland coming up.
The Western flagship station of the ABC network.
Really, really. And Dreamland coming on Sunday at midnight.
Yes, isn't that good news?
It's fantastic. Is it going to run all night long, or how many hours?
Well, 3 hours. The show is 3 hours. Oh. You'll get all 3 hours.
Okay, great. One other thing, Art. I have a friend over in Patriot Village, Virginia. That's near Annandale, 10 miles from Washington, D.C. I want to know if she can listen to you.
Absolutely.
What station would I recommend to her in that area?
Let's see. Hold on. How about WMZQ?
WMZQ.
Right, 1390 on the dial in Washington, D.C.
1390-1390.
Right, it's a 5,000 watt in Washington. They'll hear that just fine.
That's in D.C.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's 10 miles from where she is, so.
Well,
then
I'd say no problem.
Okay, what about this Patriot Village? You know anything about it?
No, I don't know a thing about it.
Well, is there some kind of Patriot movement I've heard about? Have you heard about a Patriot movement?
Well, yeah, sure.
What is that?
Well, I don't know exactly what it is, because I feel like I'm patriotic and I'm not in a movement, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that.
I don't know.
Hey, look, back to Dreamland. I had a weird experience about a cat and a dream and maybe sleep paralysis. Are you into that?
Oh, God, what a horrible nightmare. I mean, to be paralyzed in your sleep and to have a cat in the room come up and eat your nose or something.
Well, the cat died.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote a poem about it, but the thing was that this cat...
You wrote a dead cat poem?
I wrote a poem about this dead cat.
Well, send me the poem, and if it's really, really good, I'll read it. Dead cat poems. Who'd write a poem about a dead cat? Imagine having sleep paralysis with a cat in the room. Eat your nose or something. All right, here we go to our international line. You are on the air. Good morning. Where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. I'm calling from Australia.
Australia? Way down under. Where are you in Australia?
Queensland, Brockhampton area. How's that?
Queensland. And how are you managing to hear us on the internet, I bet?
Yes, coming through reasonably well, yeah.
Well, wonderful. How's everything in Queensland?
Fine. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
I know what I want to ask you. We were getting stories here in America that there was a big gun collection going on down in Australia, that they're trying to collect up all the guns. Is there anything to that?
You're absolutely correct.
Really?
Yeah.
How are they collecting them?
That's probably not an issue I should go into, but through advertising, basically.
You mean they just advertise, bring in your gun, bring us your gun?
Well, you must have heard of the Tasmania incident.
I have, yes.
It was all over the world. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And and so they're sort of going on the volunteer system then?
No, it became legislation. It was made legislation to hand in certain caliber weapons and so forth, and
listen, I didn't want to turn you away from what you called for, so you must have had something on your mind when you called.
Oh yeah, I've been trying to get on to you for a couple of days now. I was very interested in Whitney Strieber, that show with Whitney Strieber.
Yes.
Very interested in Al Taylor and Richard Hoagland. And the gentleman yesterday with the free energy, slip me mine, yeah?
Yes, these are all recent shows that we have done, yes.
Yeah. I've been trying to contact you on internet, Art, but the mail doesn't seem to be replying or not getting there or something. So I actually had an internet site for you regards your Arts Paths sort of type scenario.
There's actually
a group.
Listen, have you downloaded yet the video clips of Arts?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Listen, my network is going to cringe, but I'm at a break, and I'm going to put you on hold.
Yep.
All right?
Okay.
All right. You won't hear anything. Don't let that bother you.
It's costing me a fortune.
No, it isn't. It's costing us a fortune. It's a free call for you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How did you do that?
Believe me, it's a free call. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Back now to Queensland, Australia, and you're back on the air again, sir.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, back on the air. Listen, would you do me a big favor?
Yeah.
Would you record one of those gun commercials down there and send me an audio tape?
I could do that, yeah.
I would love it, and everybody else here would love it, too. We would like to hear what they're running. That would be absolutely great. As time goes on, we think we will get more and more listeners in Australia.
Yeah, yep. Internet link appears to be working reasonably well.
Exactly right.
So it's coming through quite well. I do enjoy the back cataloging system where you can go back and listen and pick up on information you missed on or the phone number you missed. That's a really good idea. I wouldn't like all the local users to go on internet because it'd really slow our end of the link down. So maybe I should stress that.
You mean
locals should.
So you're saying the fewer the better in some ways, huh?
Oh, for the international, yeah.
I can see that.
The show, the show is coming through a bit broken this evening. It's a little bit sort of intermittent.
Well, I guess, you know, it depends on how many people are on there, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So they're still expanding, and our good friends in Dallas at AudioNet, that's who you ought to thank, the good people at Dallas, because they're the ones who really got it up there.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
Yes, sir. All right, well, listen, wonderful hearing from you way down there, and I hope you will call again.
Yeah. Wanted to come on to give people an internet site to get onto Art, referring your Arts Paths.
Yes.
So if people wish to, there's actually an organisation in England that actually does work on those particular, New Age type craft.
All right, why don't you go ahead and give me the internet site? Go ahead and read it out.
It's www.
Right.
Dot moose, that's MOOSE.
Moose.
Dot CO.
Right.
Dot UK.
UK.
Slash.
Forward slash.
Forward slash.
All right.
User files. That's USERFILES.
Yeah.
Forward slash.
Oh, sheesh. Yeah.
PROF. Profess. Prof.
PROF.
Prof. Dot.
Prof. Dot. Yes.
J. Dot.
J. Dot.
Searl, S-E-A-R-L.
Yeah.
Forward slash index.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yes.
Get it all?
Yeah, I got it all.
And if listeners or users would like to go up on that site and give me some feedback on it, because I'd be interested in knowing what people think.
All right, let's see if I got it right. It's www.moose.co.uk/user/files/prof.j.searle/index. Oh, my God.
That's user files, one word.
Yeah, I understand.
Yep.
I appreciate that, but it's a horribly long address. all right. Thank you, my friend.
Have a look and probably come back to you as well with some feedback. because it may lead you, it may lead you further on the on answering some of your Arts Parts questions, and I'm sure it will.
All right. I have one last question for you.
Yes.
Do you guys actually see kangaroos down there?
We more than see kangaroos. We chase them out the way.
You have to chase them away. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay, Art.
See you later. Jeez, what an internet address. That's one thing they have got to do. They've got to fix on the internet some of these addresses. Holy mackerel. That, I'm not even sure that would fit in the area where you've got to put the address. I suppose it would, but complicated. Well, that's our international line. If you want to call us from any other country in the world, get the AT&T operator. That's the AT&T operator. Or the country code, the AT&T USA direct country code for your country. And then call 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. And it'll be toll free. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, where are you?
I'm in L.A.
L.A., right.
I want to comment about that guess you had the other week ago on sleep therapy, the analysis.
Sleep paralysis.
Right. Well, you know, it says to let go when you feel that. To me, I think it's a spirit, because it happened to me about a year ago. And, man, let me run you down on that. About 3:30 in the morning.
Yep.
I was sleeping, right? I had the blankets up to my neck. All of a sudden, they go over my head. I feel someone jump on me. I'm paralyzed. Can't move.
Oh, bad, bad, bad.
And then I feel a hand coming up to my neck.
That's an attack.
Hey, I was aware of it.
No, that's not. That is not just sleep paralysis. That is an attack.
And, I mean, I couldn't scream. I had to hum loud enough for...
You're sure it wasn't your cat, right?
Oh, I don't have a cat.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean... He says, just let go and you'll get out of body experience. I mean, that's too darn scary.
Mm. You know? Well, I can't do it. I've sort of tried, and since I did that program, and I can't just let go like that.
Oh, no. You don't know what's going to happen. I feel like you're going to encounter death.
Well,
I'm going to choke you to death or something.
I know. They say it doesn't happen, but I thought of that myself. You might die. I mean, what do they know? I said it to him, you know, and it kind of stumped him a little bit. I said, hey... Could it be dangerous? Could you die? And he said, oh, no. I said, well, what about all the people that die in their sleep?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, thank you.
All right.
And don't forget, Dreamland's coming to L.A.
Okay.
All right, my friend, thanks. Holding open that line for Los Angeles right now to celebrate. Celebrating oneness. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is greetings from Los Angeles. This is Peter from Los Angeles, KABC.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. Have you read yet Gary Aldridge's book, Unlimited Access?
No, but, you know, I think I want to interview him. I heard him do an interview the other night. And
you really ought to.
The guy is quite bright.
It's number one. The media doesn't want to talk about it. Any book that's been tried to be pushed off the television and other media is a book that we ought to listen to.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. You know me. I'll talk about anything.
Yes, that's an FBI agent. One thing about it, it's not hearsay like they say. It's largely first-person narrative. I've read that thing twice now, and I think the American voters really ought to know what we're getting with Bill and Hillary before we vote in November 5th. So I think it'd be a tremendous service to the country to hear this FBI agent say what he has seen first person.
Well, I absolutely agree with you in the case of Aldridge. He's a very,
very
bright
guy.
So if anybody out there wants to tell Aldridge to get hold of me, we'll rock and roll with
that. Well, I'll try to do that because I have talked to him a few times, and I'm very impressed by his integrity. I think that's the reason why the Clintonians didn't want him to have the airtime.
Well, tell him Art Bell wants to interview him.
Well, marvelous, sir. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Y'all listen to him. There's a, you know, he's an ex-FBI guy, and I would like to see what he has to say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's Rusty from South Rockwood again.
From where?
South Rockwood, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And about 2 hours ago, Bill faxed you and beat me to my punch on one of my points. I was going to say that Neanderthal man is alive and well and living in the woodlands.
Well, you know, it's not so outrageous. There have been how many reports of Bigfoot? And
yeah.
And when you think of Neanderthal man and you think it was a separate branch and it was not just a matter of our evolving from Neanderthal, then it's possible Neanderthal is still about, and Bigfoot would certainly fit the description. Wouldn't
and you do have his call on your audio book.
That's right.
Two more things.
Matter of fact, I've somewhere here I should... I haven't played my Bigfoot yell in a long, long time, have I?
No.
No, all right. Stand by. Here it comes. Now, we'll see. I've got two of them. I don't know which one this is. Here we go. This is it. That's one. Now, that is not... This is not the one. That's a secondary Bigfoot yell, and I don't discount that one at all, but... The first Bigfoot yell that I've got is said by researchers, and I've had them on and interviewed them. This first Bigfoot yell is said to be the real thing. It was captured by some gentlemen in the woods, some hunters, and recorded by them, and it is said by researchers to be the real thing. Here it is. Now listen, this is supposedly a Bigfoot. Check this sound out. How'd you like to meet something like that out in the woods? Remember that, sir?
Well, if that don't get you out of the woods in a hurry.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing will. That's right.
Okay, the second point was if you elect Rusty as president,
yes.
I promise shuttle rides for everybody and the space shuttle.
Oh, now you're cooking. Now you're cooking. A big master list at the very least, right?
Yeah, we'll just open up that bay, you know, put some. Chairs in there and some viewports in there. And
in the shuttle bay.
No guarantee of a return trip, but...
Oh, no, I like it, sir.
And the third thing, on that Flight 800
yes.
thing that you got from Major Ed Dane?
Yes.
Did not Courtney... I may be mistaken here, but did not Courtney Brown say that it was a terrorist?
And yes, he did.
He may have been watching. He was probably watching from somewhere.
Yes, and to some degree, he described that person. Yes.
Yeah. So now we get to find out who's the more accurate.
Well, hopefully, we get to find out. Now, Major Dame's description was very specific.
Yes, it was.
So we'll see. Thank you very much for the call. We'll see. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. You opened up the line now, right?
No.
Oh, I thought
no, it's for L.A. I
we're
said L.A.
We're going to open it up in celebration now. That's what you just said.
Well, for L.A.
Oh, I...
We're celebrating being number one in Los Angeles. Are you in L.A.?
Actually, no.
No, see, you're not. Where are you?
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Well, when we get the news about the survey in Arizona, we'll celebrate that.
Oh, well, okay.
All right.
Well, you know, I must have misunderstood you because you said, well, we're going to open up the line now, but I guess that meant just...
For L.A.
Okay. Well.
All right. Thank you very much. We're celebrating two things in Los Angeles, okay? The fact that the survey just came out, L.A. is the second largest radio market in the whole country, and we're number one there. Number one! That's one thing. And the other is that they're going to start running Dreamland this coming Sunday, midnight to 3 in L.A. So that's what we're celebrating. That's why that line is open for L.A. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning. I just have a question.
Well, you're not in L.A., are you?
No, I'm in
So L.A. You have to call another number. Thank you. See? No questions. L.A. only on that number. At 1-800-618-8255. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Going once. Going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. I'm Rick from Yucca Valley,
Hi.
California.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem. Did K-News change to Kiss FM?
Yeah, we heard they went to music.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
That's what I heard. But the AM station there carries it, so carries us.
And where at? In Yucca Valley?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was an AM.
Well, Give it a try.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Bye. Live and learn. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
All right. There's somebody who listens.
Okay.
Good to have you. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I was interested in what you were saying about that earlier thing about the soul catcher. That
soul
really
catcher.
Intrigued me. I mean, that's what made me listen. I never heard your show before, and I'm absolutely intrigued by you and the whole situation.
Well, I would like to say it's some foolish, silly story that isn't true, but that's not. It's true.
I know. I got that feeling, and I thought it was a hell of a good story. Where might one research that further?
Well, I gave the source for the story, which is the Daily Telegraph and the Daily Mail.
Okay. I missed that part of it. That's why it was hanging on Daily Telegraph.
And Daily Mail, yes. 18 July. So you may be able to research it through the Internet.
Okay, will do.
Or who knows, but can you imagine the applications for this?
I think it's a tremendous story. I mean, I just the thing you said about the baby, I've been implanting somebody who has tabula rasa and then having someone with a whole life experience, it sort of gives us a feeling of reincarnation actually designed by man. I mean, it's awesome.
Maybe even implanting a father or a mother's entire life into the brain of a newborn. Imagine that.
I don't think I'd even want to know. I think, can you imagine having Einstein or something like that, or even
Hitler?
Not a Hitler, but somebody with a very good, decent.
Saddam Hussein.
Oh my God!
I mean, Mother Teresa. I mean, we can go to both both extremes here. How did you happen to find our show? I'm curious.
I'm working late on the computer, and I was flipping through. I wanted to hear a talk show. And I'm never up this late normally, and I just heard you say that, and I just stopped me cold in my tracks.
I know. I read it, and it stopped me cold, too. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you found us. Come back. We're here every night.
Indeed. Thank you, Art.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And soon Dreamland's going to be there, too. Just a matter of days. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
You got Ed from Norwalk, California.
Norwalk. All right. That's L.A.-ish.
And it's one of those things where I want to be sure that
Ed, turn
you're number one.
Ed, turn your radio off, please.
It's off.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're number one.
There. Right, you're number one, and I'm going to have to stop listening to you. Now I've got the All Talk Radio. I've got the Beijing Radio.
Oh, you've
I'm
got...
waiting for my Levitron.
Wait. You've got the Beijing?
Yes.
Would you please tell everybody about that radio?
I keep winding it up, and it keeps playing.
It's an amazing thing.
Amazing radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take it out in the yard and wind it up, and it just does a good job
like
of playing.
1 minute of wind gets you 30, 40 minutes of play. It's ridiculous. It's technology that should have been around for a long time.
I'm anxious to see what my Levitron will do so I can show it to my brother up in St. George.
It'll levitate is what it'll do.
And one of the things that I wanted to mention, too, I definitely agree with Richard Hoagland that I think that's going to be an exciting experience, and I thought that Graham was off base by trying to wait for the United Nations to go in there.
Well, you know, I think that he reconsidered his position because I guess you heard my announcement, didn't you?
Yes. That
he went to the meeting.
They went to the meeting, but I didn't hear whether or not it actually took place.
The meeting took place, I'm certain of that, but I don't know what the results of that meeting were, and with any luck, tonight, I may know.
Well, that's what we're going to wait for, and I'm going to look forward to getting Dreamland, because I was hoping to get that finally started.
Well, the news came from KABC yesterday.
Well, that's good, so that'll be a good addition to them.
Yes, sir.
So, good luck to you, and definitely we're going to wait for our Levitron and hope to make that thing fly forever.
All right, my friend. Thank you. There will be a way to do that. Eventually, there will be something called the perpetuator. It's not out yet. But what it will do, interestingly, is magnetically pulse the levitating top, and will keep it going virtually forever. And I will get one of the first models of that. But you can't get it yet, so don't call him and ask him about that, because you can't get it yet. Coming soon. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
This is Joe calling from Santa Monica.
How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good. I just got to say, you really changed my life. After listening to you for a few weeks, I had an out-of-body experience.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Where did you go? To Disneyland?
No, it was a little scarier than that. I was lying in bed, and, well, first of all, I was plucked out of a dream a few days ago.
Good dream or a bad one?
It was kind of just like, I don't even remember. All I know is one minute I was just, had these entities pulling me around. And
oh, is that one like that?
Yep, and then it ended with sleep paralysis. I was back, I floated back into my bed. And,
yikes.
It's real. I mean, this really is real.
And, I know it.
I mean, and then a few days after that, I was listening to your radio program again.
And there we were talking about?
Yep. I don't even remember because I fell asleep.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, I heard a roar. And I just thought of floating, and I lifted right up. I could hear your voice.
I bet a lot of people fall asleep while they're listening to the show, and I'm getting damn tired of it. I'm going to wake up out there.
But at that experience, I was floating around, and I, it's all thought responsive, and everything is connected. All that you're talking about the Sphinx and about quantum physics, everything is just our reality is based on our thoughts. And
yes,
I know,
sir.
I sound pretty weird. I'm excited. I've been trying to get through to you for a while now.
Well, that's why we held open the area, the line for your area.
And it ended by me thinking of my body, and I ended up going back, and I was in bed again. And well, I just want to say that I'm excited about the Sphinx, and I hope we find stuff. But I think we're ready for it. We're going to find out there's more to our history than we know.
I hope we're ready for it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And say goodnight, America and Canada.
Good night, America and Canada.
All right. I'm Art Bell from the high desert. Good night, America. Good night, Canada.